Blog Talk Radio.
Get your hands off that dead body. Mine and I'm hungry. Good evening and welcome. Good evening, welcome to Eerie House Oldie Tiny Radio. I'm Dale Kay from Erstwhile Spook Show. Here along with
Erstwhile. I'm Dave Winkler from Weirdest Really Bad Movie and Spaceship One. And here along with
Erstwhile, I found the pulse. It is I, Gar the Ghoul, blah blah to you all.
And we want to welcome live chatters, GGSI Paper, Fogsbane, getting here nice and early. We appreciate it. As we are snatching bodies.
Yeah,
we're snatching bodies tonight. So whether you're talking about Boris Karloff and that great Val Lewton movie, 1945, The Body Snatcher, or the novel and movie Invasion of the Body Snatchers with... I think that's Kevin McCarthy, is it not?
Yep. And we have a couple of them are sci-fi body snatching stories tonight.
Sure, they can be sci-fi. Look at the like Plan 9 from Outer Space is sort of an attempt at body snatching, reanimating the dead for their evil purposes.
There is a body snatching, a Japanese film that was dubbed in English about body snatching.
Body snatcher.
Yes.
I would have never known anything about that film had it not been for Forrest Ackerman's Famous Monsters of Filmland magazine. And all I've been exposed to is a couple photos that he had shown in his magazine, but I haven't seen it. Have you seen it, Carr?
The Famous Monsters of Filmland?
No, Gok the Body Snatcher. Have you seen it?
Yeah, I watched it this week. Well, okay, I got halfway or three quarters through it, and then, but
that good, huh?
But
all right.
It was purposeful. I put it on before I lay down, and then I was like, oh, this is cool. just nature took over. Yeah, you know. So, and from what I understand. Testimonials. All the cast members in Gok fell asleep because they were watching me and I was boring. So, you know.
Oh, you were.
It worked on both sides. Everybody fell asleep.
You never had a boring day in your life. Stop it.
Okay. Yeah, sure.
Boris Karloff once said, even when it's boring for you, people around you, not bored.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's true. Yeah.
You know,
there's, if you're in the midst of the pratfall, you don't have the same impact as the viewers of the pratfall, I guess. So, right?
Hey, good old Bob joins us too now, and thanks for
good old Bob.
Listening
in. I got to tell you, good old Bob and I have ties. So, ring that old bell, Liberty Markets, for good old Bob. Good old Bob is in a territory where there was a now defunct grocery store that was being an advert on a horror-hosted program. And so every once in a while, the horror host would say, ring that old bell, Liberty Markets. And so in honor of good old Bob, we rang that bell.
All right. Which horror host was it, do you know?
The Bowman Body.
The Bowman Body. Now you're going
the
back.
The Bowman Body. Which is good because we're talking about bodies, you know, tonight in the direction of the subject matter. I can't.
Yes, we are.
You do it. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, so there's many ways a body can be snatched. I mean, you could be talking about kidnapping. You could be talking about doctors grabbing corpses illegally for their evil experiments.
Ill-gotten gain. Yeah, that.
Yeah. I mean, technically, Dr. Frankenstein was a body snatcher.
Right.
Wasn't technically he was a body snatcher. He went to the cemetery, had the bodies dug up, and stole them.
Yeah.
Maybe he was just a parts snatcher, though.
Yeah. Pieces and parts.
Pieces and parts. He was piecemeal. There you go.
Yeah.
Of a snatcher.
Or Or you could have aliens coming down to either reanimate the dead to take over or take us over literally. Like, I
right.
believe, wasn't V about something like that?
V was
the TV
about...
TV show V?
Yeah, about lizards that love the taste of small babies. No,
mm-hmm.
they... I don't know. They
pretender.
Finger licking. That was invasion. So anyway, you know, I'm sure Boris Karloff once said, "I've never met a body I didn't like." You know, I'm sure he did.
He was so good in that 1945 movie as Gray the Cabman. Oh my, he was good.
He was devious. He was dark. Those eyebrows were working.
Yeah. And I believe Lugosi had a brief role in it as well. Yeah.
Really? Mm-hmm. Oh, he was. Yeah, he was the butler or something, or the janitor. Yeah, now I remember. Crazy when those bells go off. No, he
yeah.
was. He was. He was like. He was like dusting
plunger.
Something. Yeah. Well, no, that's a plumber.
Well, yeah, he had a very minor. Flunky
there were
type
there
role,
were unions back then too.
Yeah.
So no, he was dusting something, and someone said, "You there? Why are you dusting while I'm speaking?" He was like, "Yes, master. Oh, I'll bite you." No, and he walked
yeah.
away.
I think Lugosi's career was kind of spiraling a little bit at that point.
Already?
Yeah.
Already?
45. Yeah.
Yeah. Really? Well,
oh, yeah.
Okay. So he did the Dracula in what? 37.
31.
35. 31. 31.
Yeah, so
he was the
you-know-what in the 30s. I mean, he was up there with Karloff as one of the great horror great kings, you know?
The Catch Me Out. Yeah.
But his personal life and some bad life choices.
He was having back
kinda,
pain
kinda
or
didn't
something.
Work for him
and,
too good.
Yeah. Didn't he have back pain? He had some type
yeah.
of pain. He
yeah.
was chasing
yes,
something.
Yes, yes.
He was prescribed morphine and then he couldn't stop.
Yeah, it's like, that's some good stuff. Could I get it in a soup, please?
Yeah.
Could I have a straw? Yeah.
Can you put it in Flintstones vitamins? Well, maybe not Flintstones, but...
yeah. Bella vitamins in the shape of a bat. It'll make you feel better all day long.
Yeah.
Until you can no longer work.
But tonight... Three really good stories for you.
Three really good stories.
Yes.
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 Well.
Really.
Sounds like that chicken hawk mother, grandmother, mother, or whatever, Miss Prudy or whatever.
Yes.
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 We got X minus one. We got Mysterious Traveler. We got Exploring Tomorrow. It's a full bill of entertainment.
We do. And I dropped the ball. And I don't know why, but I did. I was going to call up Dave and go, "Hey, Dave." And I forgot to call you back.
Yes. That's okay.
Well, that's okay.
Now,
I'm sure you reviewed all that needs
here.
To be.
I'm just sitting here waiting by my phone. Nobody calls. Nobody sends a letter.
Dave is sitting there. Play the music, Dale. He's sitting there waiting by the phone. It never rings.
Wait a minute, Dave. You're going to have to tell us that story again.
Okay. By my phone and it never rings and no one ever writes and even the people bringing the watchtower refuse to come to my door.
my mean ass is laughing.
Yeah, well, he finally found the cure to the Watchtower people.
There we go, yes.
It's called Dave's House.
Yes, yes. And so it took 2,000 years
good,
to finally get rid of them.
I do have a good way to keep them away. When they came once, I came to the door naked, and they never came back again.
Oh.
Gotta do it.
Yeah. that.
I must say, I am familiar with one, just one, of our tales tonight. But of course, the X minus one story, I've actually heard a time or two.
He had a tale.
Sure.
Okay.
If you fellas don't mind, I'd like to start with X minus one. This one's entitled "The Haunted Corpse."
Yep.
Okay, if you promise to call me or send me a card, no problem.
Come on! I scrolled away from it. God. Damn it! Anyway,
we had an original air date, and it's a sad air date. It's the saddest air date ever
of December 12th, 1957. That's a sad air date.
Man was not meant to scroll that fast. Here we go with part one.
He broke a fingernail.
Countdown for blast off. X minus 5, 4, 3, 2, X minus 1, fire.
What's going on?
From the far horizons of the unknown come tales of new dimensions in time and space. These are stories of the future. Adventures in which you'll live in a million could-be years on a thousand maybe worlds. The National Broadcasting Company presents
X minus one.
The Haunted Corpse by Frederick Pohl. It was 2200 hours when my task force of 135 picked men and a wax stenographer, all fully equipped for any emergency, surrounded the big house. Just as I stepped out of my Jeep, the old boy himself came storming out of the house with fire in his eye. While he was still ranting and raving, I gave him a soft salute and waited for him to finish.
Go on, get the whole bunch of you. This is private property and you're trespassing. I won't have it, you hear? Now go on, get out.
I'm Colonel Windermere, sir. My orders are to establish a security cordon around your laboratories. Here you are, Dr. Horn. Your copy of the orders.
You can take those orders. Say, who put you up to this? I know, Van Pelt. Why, that rotten, overstuffed, backstabbing monster of a...
Dr. Horn.
Oh, I know Van Pelt. I ought to. He worked as my associate for years. But that doesn't give him the right to turn traitor and go running off to the Pentagon with a story about the Horn effect.
Excuse me, Dr. Horn. The general asked me to give you his personal assurance that my men will not in any way interfere with your work here. It's just a matter of security.
Security? Now, listen here, Lieutenant. I won't tolerate
anybody... Excuse me, sir.
My...
It's Colonel... Lieutenant Colonel Windermere.
Colonel, General, Lieutenant, what do I care what fool title you stick on your name? The Horn effect is my personal property. Not yours, not Van Pelt's, not the Pentagon's. Not anybody's but mine. You and your whole army can go plumb to the devil. Good day.
I watched the old man. He must have been all of 85. Go stalking back into the house. During the night, a wire stringing detail surrounded the whole place with 3-strand electrified barbed wire with guard towers every 50 yards. I inspected the whole establishment before breakfast the next morning. And then, satisfied that everything was in order, I ate breakfast in my tent. I was interrupted by the appearance of Van Pelt, the fat and chubby scientist who had sent the original report to Washington.
What did he say? How did he take it, Colonel? I mean, is he sore?
Sore as a boil, Doctor.
Oh. Well, you're here, so I guess he won't try anything. By the way, I didn't get a chance to have breakfast in town, and I wonder...
Oh,
if...
of course. Have some bacon and eggs.
Thank you very much. It looks delicious.
I watched him gobble up the rest of my breakfast. I was beginning to understand why Van Pelt and Horn didn't get along very well. Why Van Pelt finally went running to the Pentagon with his report. Of course, it was my job to keep an open mind, but I couldn't help thinking how I'd feel if my exec, Captain Lefferts, went over my head in that way. No, I couldn't blame Dr. Horn for being angry. At 1400, I went to see the doctor again. I brought along Corporal McCabe, my WAC stenographer.
Well, what do you two want?
Good afternoon, Dr. Horn. I'm here to get your daily progress report.
Daily? You want a report every day?
Yes, sir. Refer to paragraph 8 of my orders. Corporal McCabe here is an expert stenographer. She'll take down your dictation.
Dictation? No, no, I won't do it. I absolutely will not do it.
You'll have to do it, sir.
Why,
orders.
Why, you and your stinking little two-bit army. I ought to... Oh. Progress report, you say?
Yes, sir.
You're going to stick to what you say?
I must, sir.
Well, I suppose I must reconcile myself to the situation. Now, exactly what is it that you want, Lieutenant?
The report, sir, and it's Colonel, not Lieutenant.
Just so, just so. The report, all about my work, is that it?
You may speak freely, Doctor. Corporal McCabe has full security clearance.
Well, that must make her very happy. Yes, the report. Just so. Just so.
You're listening to The Haunted Corpse on X-1.
Have you ever read the want ads? Well, say one morning you pick up your hometown paper and spot an ad which reads, Wanted, for important position with fast-growing concern. Native-born American citizen, male or female, at least 35 years of age. Must be able to give proof of 14-year residence in the United States. Position of 4-year duration with possible renewal. Room and board furnished. Yearly salary, $100,000. With an additional $40,000 for travel and official entertainment, plus $50,000 for operating expenses. Summer residence furnished with paid vacation. Qualifications of applicant carefully checked before position assigned. Now, an ad sounds mighty attractive, doesn't it? But the job it describes isn't a soft one by any means. As a matter of fact, it's probably the toughest job in America, that of being President of the United States. And the first job of each president is to take an oath that he will faithfully execute the office to which he's been named and will, to the best of his ability, preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States. Yes, the job of being president is a mighty important one, but preserving and protecting the Constitution is even more important because the Constitution is the supreme law of the land. The president may veto a bill, but if Congress, by a two-thirds majority, passes the bill over his veto, it becomes a law under the Constitution, unless set aside by judicial judgment. Thus, the best interests of the people are protected. That's how your American Constitution works.
Back to X-1 and The Haunted Corpse. I wasn't deceived by Dr. Horn's sudden willingness to cooperate. He was probably trying to win my confidence so they could find a way to phone his congressman and make trouble for the whole operation. But I merely nodded to Corporal McCabe, who opened her notebook and got ready to take the dictation.
Very well. This machine you see here is my polycloid quasitron. Now, to understand its operation, let me explain...
Sir, excuse me, that term...
Oh, yes, yes. Dr. Horn, would you kindly spell poly... those two words, the corporal?
Just so, just so. P-O-L-Y-C-L-O-I-D. Q-U-A-S-I-T-R-O-N.
Thank you, sir.
Just so.
Well, now, the various...
It was rough going for about an hour. The doctor had a pause every 50 seconds to spell a word for McCabe, who was looking more and more ill at ease. But there was one virtue to this slow pace. I was able to follow it all fairly well. And when the doctor finally stopped, I was ready to sum it up for him.
I hope, Lieutenant, that I've made myself clear.
Yes, sir. In other words, you've perfected a method of electronically killing a man without touching him.
What? Electronically killing a man without touching him?
Yes, sir.
Just so, Lieutenant, just so. Will you tell me one thing? What in the sweet name of heaven did I say that gave you that particularly stupid notion?
Well, sir, that's what you said. It is also what my briefing from General Follansbee at the Pentagon gave me to understand.
Oh, rubbish. Oh, I see what you mean. Just so, just so. I confess I wondered why you're here in the first place. The government feels that this is a weapon.
Of course, sir.
Oh, well, now we understand each other. My machine renders humans into corpses. So does a chipped flint, for that matter. Yeah, but never mind. That is the aspect which interests you. Yeah. Very good. But mark this, Lieutenant. My quasitron does something no chipped flint can do. It removes from the human body that thing which possesses only a negative definition, the quantity that we'll term X, which, added to the body, produces a man, subtracted leaves a corpse. Oh, but you don't care about all that, do you?
Sir, I don't follow you.
No, you're darn right you don't. We're all corpses, don't you see? Corpses inhabited by ghosts. And there's only one man in the world who can separate the two without destroying them, and that is me. And there's only one way to do it, and that's with the quasitron. Good day, Lieutenant.
Ooh, we got silenced there by the quasitron for a moment there. I need to get me one of those.
Wait a second. Maybe that was the one I was going to call Dave about and go, "Hey, Dave!" I forgot. If it went blank.
Yeah,
I was
just
listening
kinda...
to something, and I was like, I need to call Dave. And then I called Dave and said, I'm going to call you, Dave. And I forgot
to
tell him what I was going to...
He said, "I'll check it out, and I'll let you know, Dave."
Uh-huh.
And yet, he never called, he never writes, he never...
Get back to the top of the sound bites over here. Come on. Guys in their damn crayons. Yes, it's our creepy body snatcher night. Hope you brought plenty of tissues for tonight's show. It's a pretty good tale from X-1. The gentleman who plays the scientist, I've heard him in a number of their programs, X-1.
Yeah. Actually, I remember hearing him on several Lone Rangers and things like that, too. Whenever they needed an old guy, they called this guy up.
Yeah.
Yep.
So
he's got kind of a scratchy voice there.
So one thing I don't think would sell on the markets, unless it was marketed correctly, would be body snatching tissues. Body snatching tissues. You know, you hear that sad song, and you need a tissue, and body snatching tissues. I think maybe that could
just so,
be
just
a,
so.
Just so, just so. Exactly. Just so,
Lieutenant.
So.
Just so, yep.
No, I like this. The scientist is a little miffed that the government right away thinks his invention is for warfare when he has something else in mind.
There's this joke, there's this running joke, and if you were ever in the military, you are, like, grabbing your ribs laughing. The scientist guy, on purpose, okay, because if you can remember all that quasi-positron goo-gad stuff, all right, you can remember a title. And he's messing with this guy. He calls him a private. He calls him a general. He calls him a lieutenant. He calls him everything but what he is. And the guy keeps correcting him. And
yeah.
That's a hoot. I mean,
I couldn't tell if he was messing with him or if, like, he was just so deeply involved in his project
I think he was messing with him.
Put it like this. If I, Gar the Ghoul, was a scientist, all right, and I was doing some stuff, and, see, I have a problem remembering you guys' names, and I've known you for 8,600 years. You know, 478,000 jobs I've had, you know, and I can't remember,
Bill. Bill, that's okay. We don't.
That's
mind
all right. Well, there you go.
Sam, stop interrupting him.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
And there was a George in there too. I'm sure. There was a George, a Bill, and a Philip. And I don't know what Philip does, but he just keeps hanging around. And
Philip gets hit
know.
In the head with a bit of wood.
Oh, hello. There we go.
If you recall.
So he's a carpenter. I got it. All right.
No,
sure.
No. That's a reference to Shaun of the Dead.
The film
zombie.
I haven't seen. Yeah.
Oh, God. You have to see it, Gar. You
there
like
are
British,
so many films.
A, you like British humor. B,
yes.
You like horror movies. C, you like
yes.
comedy. This is all three.
Yes. Okay. I'll check it out. I mean, you know, I so backed up with stuff, Lieutenant, that I just can't remember, Chief.
Just so.
And with that, let us return to the haunted corpse from X.
Haunted corpses.
Minus
oh,
one.
No.
Corporal McCabe and I left hurriedly. I was ready now to make my situation analysis according to orders, but I decided to check one fact. I summoned Van Pelt to my tent that night.
No, no, Colonel Windermere. He's perfectly sane. Perfectly. But he is also dangerous. Particularly dangerous to me. I mean, of course, if I haven't the Army's promise of complete protection. that bowl of fruit looks tempting. I wonder if I...
Oh, help yourself, Dr. Pelt.
Thank you. Tasty. Very tasty.
Dr. Van Pelt, I must have the straight dope on horn. What's this ghost business?
My goodness, Colonel, that's just the old man's way of putting it. Forget the term ghost if it really distresses you. Now, whatever you want to call this thing in the body, life, intelligence, or whatnot, this is what his machine works on. If he wishes, he can replace this quantity or remove it from body to body. You might call the operation a transference. Transference of the personality. Yes, that will describe it.
Well, I got rid of Van Pelt fast after that. Now I had something really exciting to look into. This old man had a machine that could take a person out of his body and put him into another one if he liked. Next morning, I demanded a demonstration, and Dr. Horn showed me how he could change a hen and a cocker spaniel with the Quasitron. It was weird, but impressive and convincing.
Well, Lieutenant, do you believe in my machine now?
Remarkable. But can it work with people?
Well, indeed it can, but these ridiculous laws governing the conduct of institutions. Heaven knows I've tried to get permission for an experiment. A man dying of cancer, for instance, to exchange with a feeble-minded youth. Why not? Put the sound mind in the sound body and let the other die. But no, no, they won't have it.
I see. Then it actually has never been done.
No, but... now you're here, Lieutenant. A military man, very brave. Just so. All I've ever needed was a volunteer. Now, Van Pelt refused, the coward. So is everyone else, but now you...
Negative, sir, negative. I am not a lieutenant doctor. I am a field-grade officer.
Hmm.
But if there is a need for volunteers, I can find them for you, sir.
You can? You really can?
Yes, sir. I can think of several likely prospects. Give me until tomorrow.
Just so, Lieutenant. Captain, then. Tomorrow will do splendidly.
My immediate job was to get the volunteers. I would require two. The first was easy. A private in Able Company. I sent for him and he appeared looking apprehensive.
Sir, the colonel sent for me?
I did. You're the latrine orderly of Able Company?
Yes, sir, I am, sir.
Yeah, there's a report on you. AWOL. That means a court-martial. You're aware of the possible consequences?
Yes, sir, I am, sir.
There is a possibility that these charges might be dropped. It depends upon our finding a volunteer for a special job.
Is that all, sir? Oh, I volunteer, Colonel. When do I start, sir?
That was one. The second was a bit more of a problem. I thought at once of my executive officer, Captain Lefferts, a fine officer typical of the best leadership type. He had just been married, and he had no desire to be transferred to Saudi Arabia.
Let me get this straight, Colonel. Are you saying that if I volunteer for this assignment, there's a possibility my orders might be changed?
Captain, I hold your transfer orders in my hand. If you decide to volunteer, I will destroy them.
Sir, I volunteer.
So it was done. The next morning, both men were strapped into Horn's infernal machine. There was a great crackling and sparking.
Yeah, it's done.
May I speak to my men?
Go right ahead, Lieutenant.
The orderly first. You, name, rank, and serial number.
Sir, Lefferts, Robert T., Captain AUS, serial number 0333-39615. Oh, sir, about that transfer to Saudi Arabia...
Now, that'll do.
I...
Good heavens. And now you.
Colonel, sir, I changed my mind. If I can't go back to latrine orderly, I'll take the guardhouse, sir.
It worked. At ease, men.
You really did it, Dr. Horn.
Just so, Lieutenant, just so. I really did.
Horn switched the two men back again while I rushed for the telephone. Crash priority, the Pentagon, General Follansbee, priority and classified. Ask the general to stand by for scrambler. A weapon? This was far more than a weapon. We had the world by the tail. I got through to the general, and I was excited as I pointed out the implications of the device. Suppose a hostile representative visited this country, I told him. One of our men could switch places with him, and no one would ever guess. In time, we could have our men in the top positions of every government in the world. Our men reporting to us. It was the greatest opportunity any government ever had. The general was impressed in spite of himself. We arranged an appointment in the Pentagon for the next morning. As I hung up, I fingered the silver leaf on my shoulder. It would soon be a star.
Colonel! Colonel!
What is it, O'Hare?
Sir, I don't know how to put this. I'm afraid Dr. Van Pelt has gone psycho, sir.
Why, Sergeant? What's he done?
He's raving, sir. He says Dr. Horn wants to live forever. He says all Horn was waiting for was to make a test on a human being. He says now you've given Horn his test, Horn is going to grab the first human being he can find and... Excuse me, sir, this is what he said... and steal his body.
Great Scott! Where's Van Pelt now?
In the laboratory, sir, with Dr. Horn. Gee, is everybody around here nuts?
I saw it all in a flash. Dr. Horn had a brilliant mind, but a worn-out body. He was going to make a switch before his own aging machinery broke down. I had to stop him. Van Pelt was there literally asking for it. When I opened the door of the lab, I stumbled over Horn's body, dead. He'd already done it. Next to his body sprawled my WAC, Corporal McCabe, stunned by a blow on the head as she tried to prevent the tragedy. And there at the machine was Van Pelt, or what used to be Van Pelt, striking the complicated machinery with one blow after another.
Too late, Colonel! Too late!
Don't destroy the machine! Stop!
It's too late, I tell you! Too late!
Not that I know who you are! You're not Van Pelt! You're Horn! Get away from that machine!
No! Not until it's destroyed! Destroyed! Destroyed!
You killed him. You fool, you unutterable ass.
Wing him, yes. Stop him from smashing the machine, yes. But why did you have to shoot to kill?
It seemed the best way.
You've ruined everything now. Horn's dead and so is Van Pelt. The machine is wrecked beyond repair. Sorry, Corporal, but I'm putting you under arrest. Give me that gun.
I'm afraid not. You're fundamentally a nice guy, so I'm just going to lock you in here long enough to get away, Lieutenant.
Lieutenant? Huh? Horn! You're Dr. Horn!
Just so, Lieutenant. Just so. Goodbye.
X-1 has brought you The Haunted Corpse, a story written by Frederick Pohl and adapted for radio by William Welch. Featured in our cast were Edgar Staley as Dr. Horn, Walter Black as the Colonel, and Dean Lyman Almquist as Van Pelt. Others in our cast were Lydia Bruce, Alan Collins, Bob Hastings, and Ralph Camargo. This is Fred Collins speaking. X-1 was directed by George Boutsas and is an NBC Radio Network production.
We pause now for station identification.
This is the Erie House Radio Network. Cleveland. Cleveland.
Yep.
So, did we learn anything at all from this?
Yes.
Erie House Radio proudly presents Gar's Moral of the Story.
Wow, my blinger's off.
They have operations for that.
I know.
Sounds like a bad personal issue there.
Spirit swapping happens all the time. Think about it the next time you argue with somebody. Your brain changes every time.
This is your brain on Erie House.
You know, the fun thing about that, the first person they got to volunteer, the guy that was AWOL from his station, that was Bob Hastings, who people remember more from on television.
Superman.
He was on McHale's Navy. He was Captain Binghamton's assistant.
He was also on a lot of recordings, Superman and possibly Batman too. From Leo Records. Or Golden Lion Records or something like that. I know the name. So he did a lot of voice work.
And very well in this particular episode. Yeah, I like that surprise ending. The first time I heard The Haunted Corpse, it was like the last thing I expected. And he
was
with the young lady.
It was a good twist. It was a good twist.
It was a real chubby checker, yeah.
The Steve Martin and Lily Tomlin did a movie where they body swapped. That was kind of fun years ago.
Gosh, I remember that.
Yeah,
it's been awesome.
All of me, yeah.
Yeah.
Why not take
That was actually Steve Martin's crossover film. He crossed over from completely insane comedy into more of a middle-of-the-road comedy type thing.
Oh, okay. Comedy... diet.
Comedy
the
life.
Diet version. Yeah.
Comedy.
Well,
life.
You know, not everybody really could get into the jerk, but when you did a film with Lily Tomlin, you calmed it down a bit like he did. Even though he still did physical comedy in there, that's what's considered his crossover film. So,
one never knew.
I wonder, Dead Men Don't Wear Plaid was not Grab Your Sides hilarious. But it was. But I mean, it was. It was more cerebral.
It was amazing what they did with that. Inserting
him
into the film clips. Yeah.
I'm telling you, I'm telling you, and I've mentioned this to Dave, and I've even mentioned it to my previous partner, and I still want to do this someday. Why couldn't a horror host or even a group of horror hosts put something together with all those public domain movies?
Mm-hmm.
There's so many clips. So many clips.
Oh, gosh. Now I can't think of his name. The horror host that was with Dick Clark, Zachary put himself into some of the horror movies that he showed, black and white, so 1950, 1960, and they were like, oh, wow, hey, Zachary's in the film.
Goulardi
cool.
did that as well. Goulardi did
okay.
that.
Yeah.
That's why he turned to the white lab coat so that he could be inserted into the film, yeah.
Ah,
yeah.
Okay. Yeah, it could be done. It would be funny, too.
Oh, God,
and hilarious. With today's technology, we could walk into a clip and be there. Yeah, so that would...
Yeah, a little green screen, that's
green
all.
Green screen, yeah. Or you know, they could take it even further than that, and they could graphically and computer-wise insert you into it, and you would really be there. You know, they could make you walk around items
you
and all that.
You are
and,
there.
Yeah, and you are there.
But, you know, I always thought that would be a fun thing to take a short clip, Dale, and set up a little booth like at a Goulardi Fest or one of these other horror hosts where people could go and select one of like five or six different films, insert themselves into it with, you know, with a perfect script and walk away with a flash drive or a DVD of them, doing that.
That is a brilliant idea. That would be fun. A lot of people would enjoy that, I think.
I know there's a video that I want to, I'm going to be inserted into in the future. I just have to orchestrate it.
Yeah.
It just takes so darn long, all the stuff it takes to get camera ready.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's an ordeal. And it wouldn't take any less time if I had a makeup person or whatever dealing with stuff. It would still take about the same amount of time.
You got a lot of radio left.
We do. Talk about the same amount. And you know what? To help us get back on track, you probably should do, because the shortest one we have tonight is the Exploring Tomorrow.
Good. I was hoping that's what you'd say. This one's titled The Mimic.
Oh, it is so much fun. There's an air date.
Well, there isn't.
Wonder
you
what
know what the air
be.
Dates were of these? All these shows, the air dates are 1957 and 1958. Those are the air dates.
That's it. This one is March 19th. March 19th, 1958.
Really?
I don't know where I got it
you
from.
You really found an actual date?
Yeah, I did. I don't know.
Why are you believing?
You pull out of thin air? What?
Why are you believing, Gar?
It was in my closet. I just had to open it and let it out.
Oh.
I don't know.
Well, if you look in your closet, it's got to be real.
Yeah.
Unless you know you tell me you got it from the Internet. Yeah.
I tell you, and you know, you got to believe everything you see.
Tom Cruise is in there. Did you let him out?
Bonjour. Bonjour.
We're never letting that guy out. No, once you trap a Tom Cruise, you keep him there.
Leave him in the closet. All right.
That's right.
Sorry, that's a South Park
reference. There are some
reference.
Things you do not let go.
That was a South Park reference.
Okay.
I'm cruising the closet. I'll explain later.
Okay. Yeah. He was standing on a box. I don't know. Yeah.
A lot of radio.
A lot of radio. I haven't
whole
seen all the South Parks. I apologize.
whole
so
lot
much
of
I haven't seen.
Well, get busy. We'll wait.
Here we go. So,
with part one, the longer part of Exploring Tomorrow, the Mimic from... Not April 19th, or maybe April 19th.
March 19th.
1957 or
March.
1958.
Marching we will go, marching we will go. Okay.
Sometimes it's fun to try to pitch yourself against a puzzle. Try considering tonight's story as a puzzle. It's a story about a monster. That's a familiar theme in science fiction and fantasy. But tonight's story deals with an impossible monster. See if you understand enough of the relationship of living things to figure out why this monster is impossible. When men go out into space, sooner or later in their explorations, they're going to meet somewhere on some world something that's mighty darn dangerous. And the real danger is that it might be brought home unknowingly. That's a kind of unpleasant thought at times, isn't it? I wonder how deadly, how disastrous a thing might be brought home.
It's past 10. Marge, when is this brother of yours getting here? Midnight?
Oh, Dave, don't start getting upset about it. Send him to mate. Don't forget, it's 5 years since he was last on Earth.
5 years? I know 5 years. The ship landed 7:30. It doesn't take 3 hours to get here from the spaceport.
Well, maybe there's some routine he had to go through before he could leave the customs. I understand there's a comprehensive medical examination for all returning from outer space.
That's all we need. Some weird disease he picked up on Alpha Centauri 5.
No, they wouldn't let him near civilians if he had any such disease.
Well, all I can say is that if he doesn't show his face here by 11, I'm going to go upstairs and go to bed. I need my sleep.
Oh, there he is now, Dave. Oh, I knew he'd be here on time. Now, be nice to him, Dave. He is my brother, after all. I haven't seen him since 89.
Okay, I'll be polite. I'll go let him in. Oh, there. Come on, right on in. My name is Dave Sporley.
Thanks. I appreciate this, Dave.
Oh, Ted. Oh, Ted.
Hello, sis. Well, stand back and let me look at you. This is a big girl now, isn't she?
Well, I'm almost 24. I married Dave 3 years ago.
Well, you haven't changed much in 5 years. Same red hair, that dimple, freckles on your nose.
Was there much red tape before you could leave customs?
Just a medical exam. They gave me a quick look to make sure I wasn't carrying the plague. I was cleared through around 8:15.
Oh, you must have stopped off for a little nip before coming here then, huh?
No, I came straight here from the spaceport.
Oh, but it only takes half an hour by rocket tube.
No one said anything to me about a rocket tube. I took the subway.
The subway? Oh, really? Now the subway all the way out here? No wonder it took you so long.
Say, the rocket tube's only been in operation for 3.5 years.
Yeah.
That's why Ted didn't use it.
Yeah.
He didn't know it existed.
The world changes more than you think in 5 years. The new model autos that drive themselves, 3D video, the robots. Those things were all new when I last was on Earth. Now they're commonplace to everyone except me.
Come on into the living room. You'll probably want to rest up. I'll give you a drink, put a little music on.
And you can tell us all about your 5 years in space.
Ah, better not. Hmm? You miss him out in space.
Hey, can I dial you a drink?
Scotch, thanks. I'll take a neat.
Same old Ted. Still likes the same music and still drinks the same kind of drink.
It's only been 5 years. I haven't been away forever.
Can you tell us where you've been? Or is that classified?
Well, some of it is. But I covered a lot of ground. You ought to see the night sky on Deneb 9, Marge. 500 little moons up there like whirling knives in the darkness. From the 17th planet of the Vega system, 2 billion miles from its sun, and yet there's that great blazing light in the sky, so bright that we had to wear special eyelids.
Join the Space Force and see the galaxy. It's really true.
It was good of both of you to offer to put me up while I'm on ground leave. No treat to be in a world where you have no friends and only one living relative.
Oh, I don't mention it, Ted. How long did you say that you were staying?
3 weeks. That's all right with you.
And then you go back to space for another 5 years?
That's right. Survey trip this time, around the galactic rim.
How exciting that must be.
Just a job, after all, Marge.
Well, but how much more exciting it must be to be a spaceman than a newspaper man.
You a newspaper man, Dan?
I work for one of the system-wide news services.
That's a job that keeps humming all the time. We spacemen spend 3/4 of our time drifting through nowhere between planets, playing solitaire, watching old films and thinking about Earth.
Yes, but when the waiting's over, when you finally reach another sun and walk on alien soil...
Yes, then it becomes worthwhile.
Well,
you must excuse me. I've had a busy day. Aboard ship and getting out here.
Of course. If you'd like me to show you up to the room, why...
I appreciate that. Gee, this house is so full of new gadgets that I hardly know what anything does. Now, this thing over here...
Watch out, don't... Ted, your arm!
My arm's all right, Warren.
Look, that was the raw disposal unit.
Hmm?
Anything you put in there gets converted into energy.
Oh, but look, I pulled my arm back in time, see?
Yeah, but we heard the sound. When you activate the unit, it crackles like that.
And I saw your hand in there up to the wrist, Ted.
You're both imagining things. All I did was toss a piece of candy in to see what would happen. My hand didn't come anywhere near it.
But I saw your hand go in, Ted. And the disposal feel crackled. And yet your hand's all right. I don't understand it.
I tell you, my hand didn't come anywhere near it, Marge. Dave, would you show me to my room? I'm pretty worn out.
But I saw his hand go in. I saw it.
Survive, to handle the situations it encounters, handle them at least well enough to maintain its own existence as a species. It's not so obvious that you can overdo that, but you know you can.
He's all moved in upstairs in the guest room. Seems pleased with the layout.
Well, suppose we turn in now. It's past 11, isn't it?
Dave, I'm worried.
About what? That business about the disposal unit?
Oh, it must have been our imagination.
No, no, I saw him clearly put his hand into that field. But when he took it out again, his hand was whole. And there are other things.
Like what?
He's different somehow, Dave.
Different? Well, sure he's different. 5 years.
No, it's not just the 5 years. His voice isn't quite the same anymore. Something weird about the way he speaks now. And his eyes, they have a faraway look. We was never like that before. Davey's changed. And I'm afraid of him now.
You're afraid of your own brother?
I'm afraid that he isn't my own brother anymore.
Oh,
Davey, I know, I don't know what I'm saying, I guess, but... Well, I do feel strange about his being upstairs. As if something dangerous had entered our house.
Well, what should I do about it? Go upstairs and ask him if he's a monster in disguise? Well, Marge, he's your brother, and you invited him here.
No, but I'm worried.
And what am I supposed to do about it? It really, believe me, it's all in your imagination.
Dave, didn't you see him stick his hand into that disposal?
No, I didn't.
But you said... Dave, you're just making that up. You saw it as clear as I did.
What do you want me to do? Do you want me to go upstairs and ask him to leave? He can spend his furlough in some hotel.
No, of course we can't do that.
Well, then leave me alone.
But would you do one thing for me?
What is it?
Go upstairs to his room. He probably isn't asleep yet, but maybe he's getting undressed. And try to get a look at him. My brother had a scar on his chest about 5 inches long, starting from his left collarbone and running down diagonally. He got it when we were kids. And see if the man upstairs has that scar, too.
No, look, Marge, you said that he liked the same drinks and the same music he always did, so why...
Why'd you go upstairs and look? You could tell him you just stopped in to see if he was comfortable.
This is ridiculous, Marge, spying on your own brother to see if he's a thing from outer space.
I'll feel happier if you go up. Oh, won't you, Dave?
All right. If it'll stop you from worrying, I'll go see if he's awake. I saw your light was still on, Ted, so I figured I'd stop.
Why do you enter my room without knocking?
Your face is...
My face is different.
You look like me now. My face, that is, not yours.
I'm simply practicing.
Practicing?
Oh, don't go away. Come here, Dave.
What are you?
I'm your brother-in-law, Dave.
And your face. And your hands.
Didn't Marge tell you that I had such abilities?
No, of course not.
I guess she didn't know. I couldn't do things like this before I visited Altair 6 2 years ago. Altair has a very interesting form of native life. At the moment, nobody knows of the existence of this life form but me. It's a mimic.
Mimic?
When a spaceman known as Ted Kennedy was exploring Altair 6 2 years ago, he wandered off alone to look for wildlife. There was a big brown stone in his way. He kicked it. But the stone clung to his boot. It wasn't a stone, you see. It was a mimic.
I don't know what you're talking about. Get out of my way and let me out of this room. You must be out of your mind.
Ted Kennedy never knew what happened to him.
Within 10 seconds, the mimic had absorbed him, swallowed him up, flesh, brain, memories and all. When the mimic had fed, it realized what a lucky find it had made. A spaceman would be going back to Earth someday. The mimic can divide itself infinitely. It left part of itself there in its old disguise of a stone. The rest of it went back to the spaceship disguised as Ted Kennedy.
Marge said you were different, that something had happened to him.
I have all of Ted Kennedy's memories. As far as anyone can tell, I am Ted Kennedy, right down to the last molecule. And my crew members, who were all absorbed by the mimic and who are on leave now.
Oh, a whole ship of you spreading all over the Earth.
Exactly. Come here, Dave.
Not an army.
Don't try to resist. Just take seconds.
Boy!
Dave.
Mommy! Mom!
Just a moment God. More. And then we'll be all right.
My!
There. Finished.
Finish. Perhaps a little inspiration for the thing. Who knows?
Yeah.
Could be.
This is
John Campbell Jr., who was editor of Astounding Science Fiction magazine, and he was hosting it as well. I know that. I think that the good old Bob said he was trying to sound like E.G. Marshall. This guy was not an actor, so no, he was just trying to get through, I think, the segments.
It sounded like he was trying his hardest to be E.G. Marshall.
It could be, yes. Because who doesn't want to be E.G. Marshall?
That's true.
I don't. Well, maybe his money, but if there's any left.
But not the dead part, huh?
Yeah.
Mel Blanc's estate or parts of it or piece parcels or something is being sold this week at auction.
Really?
Money time, yeah. Yeah. Bigger pockets than I have, but I just noticed a little blurb about Mel Blanc's estate is selling off memorabilia and whatnot that he created or has or stuff that he signed or something.
Cool.
So if that guy is the – go ahead.
No, that would be a really nice thing to have in memory of a great voice man, great radio man.
Yes.
Yep. He's just all over the place. Just amazing ability. I ran across this weird video of a gal that could sing, and she had a bass tone, and then she could modulate another tone coming out of her mouth, and it was just you hear two tones, separate two tones. I tried it here. And I just got tired and fell asleep, but I tried.
Was that the horse lady? Is that the horse lady?
No. Although I do need to bring the horse lady back. Thank you for that. We do need to get her back. We haven't heard the horse lady in a long time. Dale, I don't know if you know that which we speak, but we ran across a gal who does, I don't even remember. I can't even remember. It wasn't a song as much as a vocal oddity.
Yeah. A vocal. I wish she did a juice harp, a horse sounds.
Juice
and,
harp.
And,
yeah.
Yeah.
Singing. There were animal noises. It was bang, bang, bong, bong, bing, bong, and more animal noises. It's just hilarious. I forgot about her.
The horse.
Yeah, well, that's what I call it. She doesn't look like a horse. She's a very.
No.
She's just an attractive woman, but she's just bing-a-bong-bong, bing-bong-bing. Yeah, it was just weird, the sounds she would make.
You're welcome.
Yeah, sure. Thank you, Dave. I had forgotten. That was a staple for a while, and then it just went away.
It was. It's just stable? It kind of disappeared.
Stable, yeah.
It was a stable in the show, yes.
Yeah, horse jokes.
Yes.
Horse jokes abound.
As they should.
Well, you know, it's getting to be around Thanksgiving. What better time to hear a horse from a lady singing on a juice harp? Juice harp.
Whoa.
Juice harp. I've got one around here. You know what I found out? Is if you have dentures, you can't play a juice harp. I tried, and it was like, it didn't work at all. I tried. Dentures were, yeah, so. maybe if I got implants, maybe they'd work. Then. I don't know. I couldn't do it.
The tribulations of Gar the Ghoul.
Yes, yes. There's a whole lot of them, but there's a whole lot of radio, too.
There is. That there is.
Got sidebar. So, talk about horse lady.
That's all right. We got a lot of time. We'll probably have some bonus radio stuff, too. So stick around, folks, because we loaded up the jukebox, too. And this second part of Exploring Tomorrow, kind of brief. So we'll be back shortly after the conclusion of The Mimic.
There was an island, and there were a million sheep on this island, and somehow a couple of tigers got on the island. My, wouldn't they have a high old time. Eating those sheep would be so easy for them. Wonder how they'd make out, they and their progeny. My, they sure could live high, couldn't they?
Ted, you were gone a long time. I'm getting worried.
He wasn't undressed yet. I had to wait to see the scar.
Well, he had it then, did he?
Of course. Big purple slash across his chest when he got cut time he tried to climb that picket fence.
You mean he told you how he got that scar then?
What? Oh, yeah. He told me all about it, how you and he were stealing apples years ago and how the farmer came to chase you. He jumped over the fence, but he cut himself going over, and you were stuck in the orchard because you couldn't get over the fence.
And he told you that?
Yes.
He never told anyone that story. He was so ashamed that he left his kid sister behind him and tried to get away. And he made me swear that I'd never tell anyone about it.
Well, he told me.
Oh, I guess 5 years does change a man. Oh. Well, it's almost midnight now. You'll be dead in the morning if you don't get some sleep, Dave. Come on, let's turn in.
Just a minute, Maury.
Dave, why are you looking at me that way?
Here.
I am here.
Well, no, closer. Let me hold you in my arms.
Oh, why so lovey-dovey here in the living room, Dave? Dave, you look so strange.
Let me hold you.
Dave, your eyes, you look different. What's wrong with you? What happened to you upstairs? What's going on in this house?
Let me hold you, Marge.
Let go of me. You're holding me too tight, Dave.
Just a moment, Marge, and then you'll be one of us.
Dave, what are you doing to me? Dave, I don't understand. You're hurting me.
Only a moment more before absorption, then you'll be part of us, Marge, you and me and Ted, and soon the whole world.
Dave, no!
Marge. That's all there is to it, see? A few moments while our organism absorbs yours, then the split, and a new wide spawning appears.
It's odd. I remember everything I did as Marge, clear and sharp. Only now I'm you too, Dave. And Ted. And all the members of Ted's ship crew.
And soon, everyone in the world, all merged into us. I see it's all over. I waited until you had converted us. Yeah, we better sleep now, build up our energy, and every time tomorrow we get someone alone,
we convert him into us.
Simple. Quick. All this food waiting for us on this planet. Billions of human beings. All ours. Answer it. Why, it's Mr. Adams from next door.
Hello there, Mr. Spaulding. I know it's late at night, and I hope I'm not intruding, but I was just coming home from the movies, and as I passed by outside, it sort of seemed to me that I heard screams coming from in here.
Yes, that's right. It was my wife screaming.
Mrs. Spaulding? But you seem so calm. I mean, well, I guess everything's under control.
Yes, everything is under control.
Yes, well, if that's the case, I guess I'll be going on along home then. I'm sorry to have bothered you. I just thought maybe you might be needing some help.
We appreciate that very much, Mr. Adams. Won't you step in for a moment?
Well, it's quite late, and as you say, everything's under control.
All the same, if you'd come inside.
Yes, do come in. I'll fix you a little nightcap.
Well, just for a moment. I've always believed in being neighborly. Now, yes, I'll come in if you're nice enough to ask me.
We're glad to have you, Mr. Adams. Hey, don't stand in the hall. Come in. Close the door.
Well, it's nice of you to ask me in, Mrs. Pauling. Yes, sir. Right nice of you to invite me in.
Just an island in space. It became so successful that nothing could fight it. It had starved to death, of course. That's an impossible kind of monster. There never could be such a monster as is discussed in this story.
There you go. The end of Exploring Tomorrow.
Yes.
And that's how the Bolsheviks took over Russia.
Yes.
That was it?
That's good. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They hugged it out.
Yes. we'll beat the monster with hugs. Eerie House Radio proudly presents Scar's Moral of the Story.
We, I, you, them over there, we're all invaded every day, every moment, every second by an invisible invader called Age.
There's a lot of old people in Parma.
They were taken over by pink flamingos and white socks.
And chrome balls. You got to have a chrome ball.
And chrome balls, yes.
I'm never going to get a chrome ball.
You should get a chrome ball.
And I'm never going to reverse that either.
It's great.
Not in a sentence.
It's great to blind your neighbors when they're driving in front of your house. Yeah,
exactly.
You shoot back at them. Yeah,
it's the whole point of them.
Somehow, someone has made millions of dollars creating multicolored chrome balls. Chrome balls.
Yes.
Yes. And it's not us. We're probably dissatisfied in the fact that we didn't make those millions. You know, why didn't we invent the paperclip? Why didn't we invent the sticky note?
Why didn't we invent liquid paper? Because
liquid paper.
Michael
Nesmith's
mother did.
That's
why.
Right. His mama. It was his mama who did it.
Yes, she did.
I would dare say Mr. Nesmith has done well in his life, his family, and his own private pursuits. He was actually... quintessential. He was part of the rolling that got things started about music videos. And even though music videos are still going on today,
classic video was Elephant Parts. And
and it turned into an entire little show. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
He had skits, and they did that song? Lucy and Ramona and Sunset Sam.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that. And Cadillac. No, Cadillac to the Moon. No, it's not a cat. It was a Cadillac to the Moon, wasn't it? It was a.
I don't know.
I can't remember.
I wonder what kind of mileage you get on that.
He said it was better. He got better mileage than the Russians, or something like that. I don't know.
Okay, I have to do this. I have a confession to make. Since our topic tonight is body snatching, let me explain it this way.
You stole a body.
And you're sure there's no mistake? Okay. Thanks. Hey, Dave, do you remember when we took those family DNA tests to find out our ethnic origins?
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
Well, we got our test results today, and I don't understand. I just got off the phone with them, and they say they've double-checked, and they stand by their findings.
What's wrong?
Well, I know this is going to be hard to believe, but they're saying Junior isn't our biological son.
Well, of course he isn't.
What do you mean, of course he isn't?
Don't you remember what happened when we were bringing him home from the hospital?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Look, as we were about to leave, he filled his diaper, and you said, I'll stay here, and you go change the baby. So I did.
You what?
Hey, you want to hand me that other section of paper when you're done?
Oh, I'll hand you the other section of paper, all right. Hey, what are you doing? Hey, cut him out.
Dave exercising a little body snatching all his own.
Yes, it was all about
my own. It was all about dream.
And it proves a point, which could be Gar's moral of the mini volume there, and that is word choice is very important. There you go.
I was just following orders.
That's right.
That's what they said. They said in Nuremberg, they said, you know, the trials, I was just following orders.
Yes. Yeah, that didn't fly so well.
Didn't.
As a defense. Not.
Dale, I've sent you the link to the horse lady. So your life will now be enlightened by this for at least 5 minutes. And you will get it.
I will have to check out the horse lady later on. I don't want the audio to bleed over into what we're doing here.
No. It doesn't translate well. Well, it would. Well, I don't know.
I've been told it's part horse. It could play okay, but you got to see her doing it.
Yeah. And then when you see her do it, you've got to see the expression on the band, because they look like they're in shock that they've never seen anything. And why is this woman on stage?
I'm wondering if this was like a talent show or something.
I don't know.
And there was this orchestra group or this quartet or something that was sitting on the stage, and she was like over at the microphone, and they were just like in complete shock.
Awe. Dumbfounded.
The horse lady.
So funny. See, I find the humor not in what she's doing, but in the faces of the people in the band going, "What's happening?" It's just so surreal. It really is.
Meanwhile, back
on our show,
back at the ranch,
back here,
at the house. Back at the
meanwhile.
Yes. Meanwhile. Oh, what happened? What the heck?
Be damned if I'm going to let a horse lady hijack this show.
There you go.
That's right.
We still got some mysterious traveling to do.
Exactly.
We do.
Exactly. Yes.
Yeah, this one's entitled, a very intriguing title, They Who Sleep.
They Who Sleep. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, this is interesting because this is, I think, one of the earlier ones. It has a slightly different sound than what Mysterious Travelers came to be. Don't you think Gar didn't have a little different sound? I think they were just growing into the show.
Yes, I agree. I concur. I'll say yes. Pay me $5.
Wee-wee!
I'll give you a five. Why I oughta.
That's right.
And this one even, it has a real broadcast date.
It does. Wait, Are you saying I made up the other one? I did not
yes,
make it up. I don't know where I got it.
Of course not. You found it in your closet. You found it in your closet. Of course you didn't make it up.
Of course I never.
Excuse me while I clear my throat.
Haram.
So, and honestly, I... Due to memory dysfunction, I don't know where I got that date from. I don't know where I got this date from, but I'll say it.
Doug,
if you want.
I can guess.
Hello. January 6th, 06, TH, 1945-ish. There you go.
I didn't breathe. I can feel it.
A mysterious traveler. This is the mysterious traveler inviting you to join me on another journey into the realm of the strange and the terrifying. I enjoy the trip, that it will thrill you a little and chill you a little. So settle back, get a good grip on your nerves, and be comfortable, if you can. Where are we going? Why, we're going to visit a man who could change the soul of a human being from one body into another in a story I call They Who Sleep. My story begins late one foggy night in a dingy little room in the slum section of a great city. The occupant of the room, a small man, white-haired, his cheeks hollow from hunger, has just admitted a visitor whom he does not know and whom he is trying to send away. An expensively dressed young woman with a heavy veil hiding her face.
But, my child, it cannot be me to whom you wish to speak. You have made some mistake.
I haven't made any mistake. I've been hunting for you for days. I spent a good deal of money tracing you here.
But I do not understand. Why should you wish to find me, Alexander Thomas, a penniless old man
You
who...
did not always use the name Alexander Thomas. Once you called yourself Chadwin the Great, hypnotist beyond compare.
Chadwin the Great?
Yes.
I once used that name. But Chadwin the Great no longer exists. I am only Alexander Thomas now.
Listen to me, Chadwin. We've met before. 10 years ago, you gave a performance at the Bijou Theater.
Oh, there are so many Bijou Theaters.
You asked for volunteers to be hypnotized. I came up on the stage. I and my sister Rose. You hypnotized her easily, but you could not hypnotize me.
Oh, there were so many. I cannot remember.
No, but you can remember this newspaper clipping.
That old story from the newspapers. Where did you get it?
It says that you, Chadwin the Great, once performed the experiment of exchanging two men's souls. By the use of secret drugs and your great powers of hypnotism, you transferred one man's soul into another man's body.
You cannot believe all the newspapers say.
But you did this before witnesses. And one of the two men died. You went to prison for 5 years for manslaughter.
Why do you come here to remind an old man of his tragedies? Go, please, leave me alone.
No, Chadwin. For years I've kept this clipping, for years. Never knowing what impulse made me tear it out and save it. Until last week I found it again. And then I knew.
You speak not like a woman, but like a soul possessed by devils.
Yes, I am. So you can transfer souls from one body to another?
No, no, I cannot.
How much would you charge to do it again?
Do not ask that of me. I am old. I have been in prison.
How much, Chadwin? Could you put my soul into another's body for $10,000?
$10,000?
Yes. Then you could live like a man again, not like a starving animal in this hovel.
Once before I tampered with the eternal laws, I paid the penalty. And so did one of those I experimented upon.
But which one, Chadwin?
The
weaker
one. He died. The other, the strong soul in its new body, lived.
Ah, then I am ready. When can you do it? Tomorrow night?
But, my child, why should you risk your life for that which cannot be, which was not meant to be.
Look, Chadwin, I shall raise my veil. Would you call me beautiful? Even pretty? No, I'm ugly.
You are not ugly. Your face is strong. But if it were not twisted by bitterness...
Enough of talking. How can you know what it means to a woman to be ugly? To lose the man you love to a woman you hate? Because you are plain, and she is so beautiful. Jedwin, will you do as I ask?
To help you change with one who is beautiful. To help you to be loved for just a little. My child, perhaps it is not such a great wickedness to do that.
And you'll do it?
But it is only for a little while. You must understand that. For 10 days, no more. Then the laws which cannot be violated with impunity require that your soul must return to your body.
It's enough. It's all I want, Chadwick.
Very well. I have here a small bottle. Here. Take it. Guard it carefully. When the moment comes, she, the other, must drink it in water.
Yes. It will be easy.
She will drift off to sleep. Then you. You must come to me. But not here. It would not be safe.
Never mind. I know the place. The safest in the world.
Very well. The exchange will be made, and I will see that she, in your body, slumbers dreamlessly. After 10 days, she will wake and be herself again, with no memory whatever of what has happened. And now, Miss...
Vaughn. Helen Vaughn.
Now, Miss Vaughn, who is this beautiful one with whom you would change places?
The girl who just married the man I love. My sister, Rose Vaughn.
Good morning, Miss Helen.
Where's Miss Rose? She's gone downstairs yet?
Mrs. Tabor, you must learn to say now, Miss Helen.
Mrs. Tabor, then.
She's in her room, Miss Helen.
Is Mr. Tabor with her?
Yes, he is.
All right, Bessie, thank you.
Helen, is that you? We thought we heard your voice. Come on in. Leonard's just leaving for the office.
Good morning, Helen. How's the best sister-in-law I ever had?
Hello, Rose. Leonard?
Darling, what's the matter?
I know. Did you hear what time this young lady got in last night? It must have been quite a party.
Oh, Leonard, I hope you aren't keeping tabs on Helen.
No, but I did hear the clock strike 3 just as her door closed. Well, me for the office. First, a goodbye kiss. Oh, gosh. I sure picked myself a beautiful wife.
Oh, run along, you silly.
Bye, Helen. Got a sisterly kiss for me?
Leonard... Don't put your arms around me, please.
Well, there's sisterly affection for you. You'd think she hated me.
Oh, run along, Leonard. They probably need you downtown to polish off a big deal.
Yeah, they probably do at that. Okay, I'm on the way. Bye, you two.
Bye, darling. Well, Helen, you are in a mood this morning.
I just think you two carry this lovey-dovey business to a ridiculous extreme.
Helen, it's as if... Well, as if you... dislike seeing Leonard kiss me.
You don't have to be constantly kissing him in front of other people, do you?
Helen, oh, my dear, I didn't realize.
Didn't realize what?
Didn't realize it. Oh, Helen, darling, believe me. Someday the man will come along who will mean just as much to you as Leonard does to me. You'll find him. I'll help you find him. Listen, I'll give some parties and invite a lot of new...
Stop it, Rose. Let go of me. Don't go gushing over me, you idiot.
Helen, how can you be so cruel?
Oh, stop sniveling like that.
I'm sorry, Helen, but you're always so sharp when anybody tries to be nice to you.
And you, you're always so nice to everybody, so soft, so sweet. Oh, I'm sorry, Rose. I always forget how the least quarrel upsets you. Well, here, drink this, Rose. There's a sedative in it. Something quite harmless. It'll soothe your nerves.
Oh, all right. Oh, nasty stuff.
Now lie down in your bed. That's it. Just a few moments now and you'll be drifting off to slumberland, my beautiful sister.
Oh, it is quick, isn't it? You're drowsy already.
You do? And you must give in to the feeling, you hear? Don't fight it.
I
feel so queer. As though I were on a boat. A little boat.
Boat? Can you hear me?
Yes, Helen, I hear you. You seem such a long ways away. Such a long way.
Rose, you're to come to me when I call you. Do you hear? You're to sleep for a while. Then when I call, no matter where I am, you're to come to me.
Yes, I'll come to you. I'll
come. She's asleep. Chadwin's drug is working. The rain! Come! Well, let it rain. Yes, let the skies open and drench the earth. Let the rain fall like a curtain, like a cloak to hide the rebirth of Helen Vaughn.
Leaving her sister Rose in a slumber so deep it was almost death-like, Helen Vaughn hurried to her room. There she wrote a note addressed to Rose and Leonard, explaining that she had decided suddenly to go off by herself on a trip to Mexico, and that they would probably not hear from her for some time. Then she put on her hat and coat and slipped out. All day she waited in a hotel. Then when night came, she picked up Chadwin the Great in a rented car and drove him through the storm into a spot well outside the city, where she turned into an ancient cemetery. There she brought the car to a stop before a low building of white marble over which ivy and moss had grown for many years. With a heavy key, she opened the massive padlock, and they entered, shutting the door behind them.
The air in this old mausoleum is dank odor of a charnel house.
But where else could the living lie asleep, peaceful and undisturbed, as safely as here among the sleeping dead?
No, I will not go through with
it. You already have your money. You cannot back out now.
Then in heaven's name, let us be finished quickly.
Quickly, yes. The storm should hide the car from the cemetery guards. But we must take no chances. Now, here's the flashlight I brought. I'll turn it on. Look there, Chadwin, at the tiers of compartments this tiny stone building holds. Each compartment with its iron door, each holding within it a coffin in which lies the dust of a vault.
I see them, yes. 12 of them.
This one, here on the bottom, is empty. Meant someday to hold the body of Helen Vaughn. Tonight it shall receive her.
No, no, this is madness.
I'll open it. There. See that narrow, dark compartment? So small, so quiet, so restful, so safe from disturbance. In it for the next 10 days shall rest my body, holding the soul of my sister Rose.
No, no, there must be some other way.
None that is safe. While my body sleeps and I am absent from it, it must be where no one can find it. And here, no one ever will.
I do not like it.
Hold the light. I'll slide into it. It's quite roomy enough. The stone is chilly, but what matters that to one who is asleep? Going.
Rose Vaughn, hear me. Enter the body that awaits you here. Enter quickly and wait.
The cold, dark, Helen.
There is nothing to fear. Sleep, my child.
Yes, I see.
Nothing to fear but fear itself.
That's pretty catchy. You ought to write that down, Dale.
Yep.
That and a cuckoo clock.
Sure.
I fear cuckoo clocks in the middle of the night.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
I fear when they're not working. Then I'm always thinking time has stopped. You know, in this twisting, swirling world of change and things going on, and I don't know, maybe if you're experiencing this where you're at or not, but it seems like certain things are harder to obtain than they used to be. Certain brands are not being delivered of certain items. So I've had to switch some things up a little bit, and I have discovered Diet Faygo in Pop. You know, Faygo's been around forever.
Right.
Rediscovered, I guess. I haven't had any in a long time, but Faygo. I am currently enjoying a Diet Faygo Moon Mist. Yes, they make Moon Mist.
I like those. I can't find them around here. So congratulations to you. I can only find like the Diet Root Beer and the Diet Faygo Cola.
Yeah.
But that Moon Mist.
McCormick actually makes a root beer concentrate. And you mix and you combine that with a few other ingredients. And if you get some, seltzer water, you can actually create your own beverages at the house. I don't buy brand. I get the generic stuff, and you can get all kinds of different Kool-Aid type of flavorings and then combine those with I combine it with black tea and the seltzer water and a little bit of regular water, and there you go.
You got to be careful, though, because, down in Florida, where they have that international clown school, you use seltzer water for things besides making soda water.
Well, yeah, you wet down the cat with it,
Gator water.
Gator water.
Gator water.
Yeah,
Gatorade.
The Gatorade is actually not. I mean, it's okay if you have no physical ailments whatsoever, diabetes.
Yeah, but they don't put real gators in Gator water.
Well, they do, Gatorade. But they don't. They just have really powerful blenders.
I heard they use artificial gators.
Yeah.
They might use artificial gators.
And I feel that's phony advertising. If you're not putting gators in Gatorade, then you're misnaming it, you're misrepresenting your product, and fooling the public at large. I object.
Yes.
I think we need to complain to the FTC.
Yes.
FTC?
Federal Trade Commission, or the PTA, or wherever we can complain. We just need to complain.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd start at the Ringling.
Or the WGAF. Who gives a darn?
I'm getting scared about all these different things and what they might mean.
A little alphabet problem for me.
Exactly. Yeah. the DTS, which is darn that squirrel. Because they're doing all kinds of stuff.
I thought you were talking about the DTs. I was having flashbacks there for a minute.
Flashbacks and quakes?
And quakes,
taking in your
Jeep? Yes. Just call me Shaky.
Call me Shaky. Get moose and or elk. Sue away.
He's shaking, not stirred. Yes.
Yes.
Get moose and elk.
Moose
get,
and,
CW
elk
said,
moose.
Get moose and elk. I'm like, is that like moose and squirrel?
No, moose and elk. The attorneys.
Yeah.
Oh.
They're one of our sponsors.
See, up here in Northeast Ohio, we have this group called Elk and Elk. They are personal defense attorneys. So we went even wider street and found elk and moose.
Elk and moose.
Personal attorneys. Yep. That's
yes.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Where's badger and hedgehog? I mean, come on. We're going to do it.
I'd never badger a hedgehog, man. A hedgehog, you know.
You'd never badger a hedgehog?
No,
you never
want to
badger a wombat. No, it's not a wombat. What's that? Oh, there's some nasty critter. It's not a wolverine.
A badger? A badger? Never badger a badger?
Is it a badger?
Badgers are pretty... Badgers are pretty nasty.
A honey badger.
Honey badger. That's it. The honey badger. Yeah.
Yes.
Now,
they're evil. Yes, they are
check
evil.
Check this out.
Not a honey dipper. A honey badger.
Check this out. Okay, this actually happened.
A honey
now,
dipper
I
is something else.
I wasn't present, but I heard about it. My family used to do wildlife animal rehab, And before I got there, and I was like 14 when I got there, but a little bit before that, my dad found a badger. And he was like, oh, poor thing. And he wrapped it up and brought it to the house. And they couldn't get it out of the house. They let it go, and it, you know, was in a corner. It was like, come on, rah, 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 rah. And I was like, no, come on, it'll be okay, rah, 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 you know.
That's
and it
really
was,
ironic,
because you know,
my that's really ironic, because my parents were in rehab, too.
Yeah, no, this was a badger. This was a, I'm going to eat you up. I'm a small animal, and I will take you down. Yeah. You know, come on, boy, you'll be okay. You know, like, good grief. Yeah, the Tasmanian devil is a little bit different than the Tasmanian devil, but, yeah. I would like to have seen that, but, you know, from a distance. I mean, we had skunks and possums and raccoons and all kinds of other things, but I never
lions
got to
and
see.
Tigers and bears.
Yeah, well, I think my dad learned his lesson, but don't, you know, if the badger's not doing good, well, you know, just go, sorry, badger, you know, and maybe get a more professional, I mean, my...
Or, you know, at least give the badger some bus tokens so he could get somewhere, you know?
Something, yeah. Yeah, that was... yeah, it took me a while for the honey badger. There's a rather funny... a video on YouTube about honey badger, and when Dale said it, I was like, that's the one. Yeah, honey badger.
Let us badger you with a little bit more old-time radio as we wrap up Mysterious Traveler.
Yes.
They who sleep.
Quickly, Jadwin closed and latched the iron door of the compartment, slipped from the mausoleum, snapped the padlock on the huge door again, and was gone. At the same time, back in the big house in the city, the frantic Leonard paced the floor, waiting for some change in the condition of his wife, Rose, who all day had been in a strange stupor from which nothing could arouse her.
Doesn't she look better?
Yes, I think she does.
She's waking up. Oh.
Rose. Rose, darling, don't be frightened.
Why, Leonard.
Yes, of course it's me. Who did you think it was going to be?
I don't know. I was startled. I guess I must have been dreaming.
Rose, what's happened to you? Why... your voice sounds just like Helen's.
Really, Leonard? That's odd.
Perhaps I'm catching a cold.
No. Now you sound like yourself again. But for a moment, I'd have sworn it was Helen speaking. I guess I've been so worried, I'm just imagining.
Oh, Leonard, hold me close. Close, darling, close.
Always, Rose. Always.
Always. Yes, always. She'll never have you back. Never.
What are you saying, Rose?
I was just... thinking of how much I love you. So much that I'll never let anything take you away from me. Never!
In the days that followed, Leonard found his beautiful wife, Rose, so strangely changed.
You've been different somehow these last 10 days. In fact, ever since Helen went away so unexpectedly.
Have I, Leonard? How?
Well, you've been gayer, more headstrong, too. It's almost as if you'd acquired a whole new character.
Well, perhaps I have. And how do you like this new wife of yours?
Well, I do, and I...
don't?
Oh, please, I don't mean it. It's just that... well, I was so in love with the old Rose, it's a little hard to get used to the new. And all these bills that you're running up, why, that's not like the Rose you used to be.
Oh, Leonard... I do hope you're not too mad at me, because...
well, what is it this time? Another fur coat?
Worse than that. We're going to give a party.
Another? Why, there's 3 in 10 days. Rose, I forbid it.
You can't, Len, because I've invited everybody already.
Rose, it's so unlike you. Why, you act more like Helen than like yourself these days.
Never mind, darling. You'll get used to the change in me. In time.
I say, Helen, went ahead with her plans for a party that night. And when early in the evening, a small gray-haired man presented himself at the door and asked for her, he sent word by Bessie that she would not see him.
I'm sorry, Mr. Tedrin. Mrs. Tabor says she cannot see you. She says she does not know anyone named Tedrin.
But she does. 10 days ago I was here. I gave you an envelope for her. It had a key in it. Oh, surely you remember.
Yes, but just the same, she says she doesn't know you. Now, please go, or I'll have to call an officer.
Did you tell her what I said? This was the 10th day.
Yes, and she said she had no idea what you were talking about.
All right, I'm going. I must do what I can by myself.
And while the gay party went on, miles away in the old cemetery, Chadwin the Great worked frantically with a hammer and chisel to force the padlock on the door of the mausoleum in which, unknown to the world, a sleeping girl lay hidden.
Look, got to get it open. Won't let me into our house. Won't even talk to me. Won't let me warn her. She won't. What is that? Dog's coming this way.
There he is.
Somebody
trying to take him to the
barn mausoleum. Sit
down.
I must run for it.
Sit down. He's getting away.
Hey, you crazy brother. You're going
to. They missed me. Got to get back to town. I must warn her. She's got to know. Miss Vaughan, thank heaven this time you heeded my message.
I won't have you coming around to my house this way, do you hear? You must never come here again.
But you do not understand. The 10 days is up tonight. Now, your time is over.
Are you trying to scare me, Chadwin? To get more money from me?
Money? No, I am just trying to tell you. It was understood 10 days only. More is not allowed.
You fool! Do you think I ever intended to give up Rose's body once I had it? In that narrow crypt in the tightly locked mausoleum, my body has long since died from lack of air. And Rose has died with it. But I remain alive.
So, that is what you planned. I should have guessed. But it is not so. Your body is not dead. It is in a sleep so deep that it scarcely breathes. It needs no food, no water. But sometime tonight the dog will wear off, and your sister Rose will claim her body again, while you, Helen Vaughan, will wake to find yourself locked within a burial crypt.
No. No, it's not true.
It is true. And you will not be asleep. You will be awake, needing air. And there will be no air.
You're just trying to frighten me.
Tonight I tried to open the tomb to save you. I was driven away by guards with dogs.
But what can I do?
Only if we can reach the tomb in time to open it can you be saved.
And we must go now. I'll get the key. And we must hurry. Hurry!
There's the mausoleum, Miss Vaughan. Pray heaven the guards are not waiting.
They won't be. We fooled them by leaving the car outside and walking up this back path. Now hurry, Chip.
What is it, Miss Vaughan?
I don't know. For a moment, I felt so dizzy.
It's Rose, trying to return to her body. We cannot waste an instant.
Hold me up. Something is pulling at me, tugging at me.
Darling, where are you?
She's speaking through her own lips.
No. No, not yet. Go back, you hear me, Rose? Go back.
Here's the mausoleum. The key. Give me the key.
Here it is. Quickly. He's pushing at me so hard. So no. Hard.
Darling, help me. Everything is so dark. Where are you?
Go back. Go back, I say. Chadwin, have you got the lock out yet?
It won't unlock.
It must.
They put a new padlock on. Oh, dear heaven, they've changed the lock.
No! No! It's getting dark! Dark!
It's hopeless. We cannot enter.
Darling, where are you? No. We can't both be in the same body. Go back.
Darling, I'm trying.
Don't lock me out.
Help me.
Go back where you were.
Help me.
Wait, Rose, wait.
Help me. Darling. Darling. No. No, don't. Rose, you mustn't. You mustn't.
The guards, they're coming back.
Where am I?
Sleep, child. Sleep a little longer and wake without memory.
Please.
Yes. Yes. Before I would, I can do nothing now. And the guards, they must not catch me. They must not catch me.
There he is. We've got him in turn. Holy cat. It's a girl.
Mrs. Taylor, asleep on the steps of her own family mausoleum.
Say, we got to get her out of here. Help me lift her out.
Hey, wait. Did you hear something then? Like somebody calling a long ways off? Listen.
Help me. Help me. I can't breathe. Someone help me. I'm
up here. Do you hear anything?
Nah, I can't hear anything. It's the wind. Come on, we got to phone Miss Tabor's husband. She may be sick. Come on now, no time to lose.
Remember anything about a man named Chadwin?
Chadwin? No, I don't, Leonard.
Well, Bessie says he called several times last week to see you. The last time was the night of the party. You're sure you don't remember him?
No, Leonard. I'm sorry,
all right,
but...
All right, darling. I just thought maybe you might have begun to remember some of the things that happened during those 10 days when you, well, weren't yourself.
It's so strange. As if my mind had been asleep the whole time. Is there something about Chadwin in the paper?
He committed suicide last night.
Oh.
His body was found near the old family mausoleum. He left a mysterious note saying he was paying for some transgression.
How strange.
I wondered if he could have given us any clue as to how you came to leave the party so suddenly that night and drive to the cemetery. Oh, but... it's all over now and not worth worrying about.
I'd remember if I could, but when I try, I become suddenly frightened and feel as if I were locked in some dark, tiny space where I can't breathe.
All right, now, darling, all right. Let's forget the whole thing. Now, let's see what came in the morning mail. Maybe there's a letter from Helen. You know, it's high time we were hearing from her. She's really not acting much like a sister, being gone so long without even writing a letter to know where she is.
The mysterious traveler again. I'm afraid Leonard and Rose are going to have to wait a long time for a letter from Helen. In fact, I'll be very much surprised if they ever get one. I suppose it'll never occur to them to look in the old mausoleum. In fact, since they both feel a distinct aversion to going near it, it may never be opened again. But I don't suppose that'll make much difference to Helen. Now. Now, if you were wishing you could step into somebody else's shoes, maybe what happened to Helen will make you change your mind. Now, I knew a man once who... He stole somebody else's body. Only to discover when it was too late that he... Oh, you're getting off here? Well, perhaps we'll meet again soon. I take this same train every week at this same time.
You have just heard Chapter 55 of The Mysterious Traveler, a series of dramas of the strange and terrifying. In tonight's story, They Who Sleep, Philip Clark played Chadwin, Gertrude Warner played Helen, and Helen Clare played Rose. The Mysterious Traveler is written by Bob Arthur and David Cogan. Original music is played by Henry Silverne, and the entire production is under the direction of Jock McGregor.
A-OK, play the door.
Listen next week to a tale titled...
Escape Through Time.
Another tale of the mysterious traveler. Mysterious Traveler is presented by WOR Mutual from the WOR studios in New York. This is Mutual.
And the feeling is mutual. Hey, yo. Is the Traveler's train.
He always makes me get off early, and then I got to walk to the next stop.
Tickets, please. Tickets, please. Get off my train.
Well, there's probably something to be learned here. Eerie House Radio proudly presents Gar's Moral of the Story.
When seeking happiness, leave no stone unturned unless you're under it.
Ooh, yes. Better turn that.
Okay.
I have something. I have something to share as well. After this last Mysterious Traveler, we have shared over 200 complete shows this year so far, and we're a mere 10 away from 1,000 complete old radio programs that we've shared.
Good heavens! And we're just
and I was here for at least
up.
Half of them. Maybe.
Oh, at least.
You were here for more than that. Yeah, you were here for more.
I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
I got you down on the time card. I know when you were here.
Oh, do you?
That's right.
Time card.
We haven't delivered the paychecks because, you know, we keep docking you for, I don't know, various infractions.
Oh, yes.
Yes, yes.
I
get docked every time.
Week. Yeah.
Yeah.
Every time you hear this, I'm docked.
Every time you break one of the rules, and a night that you don't, we make up a new rule so that you broke it. That's,
yes,
you know,
exactly.
Just the way it has to be.
It's called financial management.
So far, it's worked really well for us.
Yes.
As a group.
As a group, yes.
Indeed.
So, I have a wooden nickel left out of my paycheck from last week. So how about you let me step up to that big old jukebox and go for a number, Dale?
Stick it in the slot.
Dave, do they only pay you in wood? Is that how that works?
They do. This is Ohio.
Oh, okay. Price of wood's gone up.
A lot of trees.
Yeah,
it shrinks. It shrinks to the size of a penny in the rain.
It does. You got to keep it out of the rain. So therefore, here I reach over and put it into the slot.
Dirty. Sounds so dirty.
When the wise old owl in the old oak tree says, ooh, ooh,
wise old Sally Mason, tell him about the owl, boy.
When we strolled through the moonlight, you said, I love you. But the wise old owl and the old oak tree, she said, ooh, ooh, ooh. You
that I was that someone that could sing those love songs to. But the wise old owl, as he winked his eye, just says, who, who, who? Though I never thought that you'd say goodbye, that old bird must have known, honey, that tonight he and I would be under that moon alone. Maybe I'll find a new love, that's what I should do. But the wise old owl in the old oak tree just says, who, 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 who? Tell him again. But the wise old owl in the old oak tree just says, who, who,
who. So I have this collie. His name is Pal, all right? And I put a couple pictures of him up on my personal page today. But when he has to go outside and do his duties, he hoots.
Hoot. Seriously?
That's his signal. Yeah.
The dog goes, hoot, hoot.
Really? Well, it's a yip, but it sounds like a hoot. I've been calling him Hoot Gibson for no particular reason.
That throws a flag in my head there, Dale, that he might have a digestion problem. You might want to talk to your doctor.
Wouldn't I talk to his doctor?
Talk to a doctor.
Sounds like he's swallowing an owl. Maybe swallowing an owl.
Yeah, that's a little atypical behavior for dogs. Or, you might want to.
Or a squeak toy.
Well, yeah.
He has lamb chop for a squeak toy.
Okay.
It's lamb chop.
It looks like Sherry Lewis's puppet lamb chop.
Oh, okay.
Right. It was designed after Sherry Lewis's lamb chop.
Yeah, just throwing it out there, Dale. You might want to talk to his doctor and just say, could you do a little check and see what's going on? That sounds atypical to a doggy.
Oh, the collies make a lot of strange noises. He sounds like an old man when he wakes up with these little grunts and groans. It's hilarious.
I was going to say, I make a lot of strange noises when I get up. What are you talking about?
Well, my doggies made grunting noises when there's some stuff that's just doggy related.
Yeah.
Making a verbal or an audible noise when that happens, you might want to just for kicks, you know. And if it's nothing, then great. If it's something, it could be, you know, fixed.
No, I don't have to go around with him. It's just the sound.
What's going on tomorrow on? What's going on tomorrow at Erie House, Dale?
We're still snatching bodies with CBS Radio Mystery Theater. First woman in space. So I'll be here with Dave, and hopefully CW will be joining us as well. And let's see. And that starts at 6:30 Eastern, ends at 8. Then what to do at 8 tomorrow?
What to do? Well, it's the last opportunity to see Cigar and the Crypt and everything prior to Turkey Day. So we're going to have a Thanksgiving centric horrible horror.
When you said the last chance to see Gar the Ghoul, you had my hopes up.
Wow. You know. Just like Katie Seagal, I could get hit by a car. I don't know. You know.
And then the disappointment. Then the disappointment sent it. No, seriously. Tomorrow, 6:30 here. And then after our show, run on over to the Twitches.
Twitch.tv,
something like that.
Oh, okay. Thank you. Thank you.
Somewhere.
Or
I don't
Twitch.
Know.
Carl
will have a link on his Facebook page, to be sure.
I should. By 3 o'clock tomorrow, hopefully.
Yeah. So check us out tomorrow at 6:30 and then Gar at 8.
Yes.
Please.
Thanksgiving fun.
Mm-hmm.
Gobble, 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 gobble.
Yep. Or meatloaf. Or meatloaf.
Meatloaf,
well,
that's
honey
right.
Badger.
My meatloaf doesn't make that sound, yes.
I'm fascinated.
I mean, I might make
only
that
when
sound.
It goes, only when it goes poo or something.
Bye, gang.
The castle lights are growing dim. There's no one left but me and him. When next we meet in Frankenstone, don't come alone.
They ended like 9 seconds early. What the heck? The counter still had 9 seconds left, and it just cut the audio for the live feed.
Well,
isn't that awful?
Phooey.
Okay, all right.
And the words of Nero Wolf, phooey.
Okay,
yeah,
okay.
I have a similar expression that starts the same but ends a little differently.
Since we're all still slightly here, I want to get Dale's reaction.
Okay.
Reaction.
Oh, to the horse lady.
Please,
yeah, I got to say
please,
the horse
Dale, go ahead. Click the horse lady
and
start it up. It's only 5 minutes, and, you know, you'll never get it back, but...
All right, here we go.
Here we go.
Here we go.
What the hell?
Yeah.
Why?
You can hear it, right? Yeah.
Can you guys hear this?
No. Maybe it's a good thing. I don't know.
Are you sure she's not a wolf lady?
No. Horse lady. You'll find out. It might be a few minutes in, but you'll hear. And pay attention to the faces of the band members.
I can't believe this.
I cry of comedy every time I even think about it now.
I have never heard a woman make this noise other than a dirty movie.
Not even then.
Not even then.
You have to pay extra.
I'll bet she has holes in her back because she sounds like a whistle or a train or something.
Yeah, no, it gets better. It gets better. You're just
the
starting.
The hell is wrong with this woman?
It gets better. Oh, it gets worse, and by that, it gets better. Oh, goodness. My eyes are filled with tears of joy and
She's
laughter.
Got the jaw harp or Jew's harp,
yeah.
Whichever you...
Yeah. Yeah, and she's going to hit that thing.
She's twanging.
Oh, there you go. Just keep it going.
I just see her in a duet with Yoko Ono, maybe.
Yes. They could, yeah.
I could see.
They'd both be in tune. she's going to get horsey in a minute.
This is just wrong.
And that's why it's on Horrible Horror every once in a while. Definitely.
Yep.
I hate you for this.
And again, pay attention to the faces of the band people, because they
know
are
I
just
can. It just
they just don't. They're like, why am I here? I don't know. You know, it's like
I can taste my own bile.
Oh wow, pretty rough there, buddy. I never got that out of it.
I didn't
I more.
No,
chuckled and laughed and
finally a just, horse noise.
Finally. Okay. Yeah, okay. You're at the 3 minute mark.
You couldn't find the 45-inch version of this, could you?
Oh no, it's 6 records long. I've got.
Oh no, we had to get the album version.
That's right, yeah, you know, and it's, you know, it's 12 CDs, 18 LPs. It's great.
my guess is she's never been with a man.
Well,
my guess is she may be a man.
She's got way too much time on her hands.
Wow. Well, I was guessing she was part horse and it didn't matter, but I don't know.
Yeah, these poor guys have to watch this.
It gets me when they finally do a wide shot and they show the people on the band and they're like, why am I here?
I'm aghast.
Well, see, now you can say you've seen everything. There you go. You know. Oh, I love that lady. She's just so...
I would have rather than Rick rolled.
Well, we set up a Rick roll once. There's a Rick roll added into Arbor for something. Because there's a thing where someone goes, what's the feature presentation, Gar? And I never tell what the feature presentation is. Instead, I click a button, and you see He-Man singing the song, I forget. But it's funny.
God, there's still 50 seconds of this crap left.
To the end, brother, to the end. Yeah, because she closes with a definite closing motion.
The
whip. I'm just hoping she has a heart attack or something.
She actually teaches juice harp on YouTube, and I tried, and I was like, it's not making the right sound. I was like, oh, you have dentures? Well, yeah, forget about it. You know, it's like.
The most
wow.
Okay, it's over now, thankfully.
It's over. Well,
the most amazing part of this piece of work is people actually clapped for her at the end.
Well, we are polite here in Canada.
Canada. Why? What did I do to you?
It's comedy, my friend. It's some of the highest volume comedy I've run across in a long time, and when I show it, people get the comedy and they enjoy it, but I can't remember any of the comments they make. I had forgotten about it.
Shocked, there's not like rioting in the streets. I just
oh, there is there, but that was going on before you saw this. And that was.
Hey guys,
I
do have something that I do have something that you guys can look forward to. Our first show into the new year. We're burning our way into the new year. About arsonists. And
arsonists.
One of the programs is Donnie Dollar. One of the programs is starring Boris Karloff, and one program is starring Bela Lugosi. And then on Saturday night, the 8th, we have a radio mystery theater that has Julie Newmar in it.
Ooh!
Oh, so I hope she kicks her boots up real high.
Curl my toes.
Is that a weekend? Is that a weekend or what?
That is.
And that'll be the first weekend, first full weekend of
the first
new year.
Full weekend, right, yes.
Oh,
the 7th and the 8th. We're burning our way into the new year.
I don't know what
it is. Yeah, New Year's Eve is a Friday. You mean I got to ring in the new year with you guys again?
You don't have to. Well, no, we'll be off air way before. We're not sticking it out till
midnight. We have done it in the past.
Yes, we have.
What? Really? Well, yeah. if it's a Friday, I can't hang out.
We
that
have
long.
It end at 12:30 so that, like, we can heal over and die. You know?
No, I,
yes.
Unfortunately, I've got the program the next day, so I'm gonna have to cut out after we finish. Unless you guys are you moving the time up 2 hours or something? I don't know, but
yeah, if we're gonna ring in the new year like we usually do, we haven't written it in stone. Nothing ever is.
Okay.
We didn't do it last year, but that was about the first year we didn't. Actually, ring in the new year.
Yeah, age crept up on us, and we said,
"Right,
it did." I think it was a Sunday last year. I think, wasn't it?
I'm gonna have to phone this in. I don't know. yeah.
It was a Sunday. I said, you want a Dale? I said, you want a Dale? He said, no. I said, me neither. So we didn't.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
We wussed
because
out.
Because that, I mean, that's starting at 8 and ending at midnight. That's 4 hours.
No. When we were doing it at night, we would start like 10 or 10:30 or probably 10:30 or even 11.
Oh.
And then
10:30, 11:30, 12:30. Yeah, I think, yeah, right.
Ring
about
Ring in the new year,
11:30.
Goof around a little bit, and cut out, you know? No after party. We were
okay.
Burnt.
Yeah, well, yeah, I got to get up and do the live thing the next day. And I don't know. Well, that's just, like I said, I was ringing that by ear. I don't know.
I don't know, but
I'm
looking at it. I'm
not sure.
I'm looking at all the good stuff for Thanksgiving weekend that they've pulled. Oh, my goodness.
Ooh,
it's going to be fun.
Lots
of laughs. Yeah.
Yep, a lot of Thanksgiving leftovers. That's that to be sure.
Oh, no, wait. Oh, yeah, because it's the day after. Right. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Black Friday,
no, I've got,
actually.
I've got tomorrow lined up for Thanksgiving at Horrible Heart, so we got a whole bunch of stuff there. And then Turkey Day, and then after Turkey. So, yeah. And not Christmas, but, you know, after Turkey. But actually, that's the kickoff. For me, you know, after the Thanksgiving Day parade, Santa shows up, okay, then go for it. Yeah, that's the thing.
We're watching the horse lady. Been watching the horse lady too much, Dale. Careful.
Oh my God, I can taste my own bile. It's yeah.
That really stuck him backwards. I tell you, I thought you were gonna laugh.
It did. It did.
Most people, you know. I wait for the band member scene to show up. There's just one scene where it does a wide shot and she's performing and doing all the stuff. This is halfway through that. And they pull back, and the band is sitting there almost eyes dilated, you know, drooling, not knowing what's happening. And it's just,
yeah.
It's just
I believe
like,
the
oh,
word
yeah.
is aghast.
Yeah, it could be aghast. Yeah, it could be. It could be just, wow. You know, my question, how do you follow and act like that? That's what, you know, I... but,
well, not with
yeah.
another...
With a Mexican donkey show,
a banjo.
I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. Never follow a banjo act with a banjo act, so it better be something normal.
Yeah.
I'm guessing what follows that poetry, you know? Like, I don't know.
Yeah, because there was an old vaudeville saying that never follow a banjo act with a banjo act.
Right.
Yeah.
And now here is Clark Johnson to show us the wonders of the abacus. I don't know.
The
spectacled kid, you know. This is an abacus. It is used for counting. And, yeah, I don't know. Julie Newmar. Oh, wow. Julie Newmar and Eartha Kitt. I want to say I've got signatures of them both around here somewhere. Let me think.
I want to say I have them too, but I'd be lying.
I know there was an email circumstance where right prior to Eartha Kitt's death, her and I emailed back and forth, and I was like, oh, my gosh, wow.
I think the two events are connected.
No, of the three cat women, I really, Eartha Kitt and Julie Newmar,
they were the best.
Definitely amazing. I didn't care for Lee Merriweather as a Catwoman.
She fit the outfit pretty well.
She fit the outfit, but she couldn't. She didn't have the chops for acting.
Who cares?
Well.
Who cares?
Yeah, that's right.
Well, you could have.
Like
you
could expect
put a
Batgirl
in
to
a
act.
Suit.
You expect Batgirl to act? No, not the way she fit in that outfit.
No,
I guess
well,
Batgirl,
not required.
Her.
Not required.
She acted. Yeah, well, I don't know. My vision of the Catwoman, is, yes, Lee Merriweather Pitt. She was Miss America, I believe, and Miss, I forget where she's from, but she won a state title too. But I just never, Julie Newmar acted deviously in her part, and Eartha Kitt acted devious in the part that she played. So, yes, they both filled the suit, but they also acted the part, and I didn't get that out of Lee Merriweather.
And I didn't care.
And you didn't care. Dave didn't care. And Dale didn't care. Yeah. So, as an aficionado of Batman and all that jazz, you know. Andy, who? So, Horse Lady. Wow.
Oh. Damn you for that. Damn you.
Oh, there is so much stuff that's on Horrible Horror that you haven't seen that I wish I could bring to you. That was one. That was but one.
Oh.
Now you know why it's horrible, right?
And we're so damn grateful. Oh.
And yeah. Well, I'm gonna see if CW watches it and get her opinion. I'd like to know what she thinks.
Oh yeah, just spread the hate.
Spread the hate. Wow. Wow. It is so crazy.
It's awful. It's awful.
Yeah.
It really hurts.
It really did? Did it?
Yes. I felt physical pain from it.
Wow. Are you sure you weren't sitting on a tack?
I could have been.
Well, there you go. Yeah. You might want to make sure your Botox is tax free before you go watching Horse Lady.
Never mind my Botox.
Never mind your Botox.
Yes.
Botox.
Botox.
Botox. Oh, there is a song that was put out in the 50s or 60s called Poontang. And
it is
delightful. And I will send you that
delightful
song in the Dropbox. Delightful. It really is. It's a great little tune. All about Poontang. And, yeah. Back in the 1930s, 40s, and 50s, Poontang was the act of kissing.
Oh.
See? It lost its verve, didn't it? We have a delightful tune that we could put in the jukebox all about Poontang.
Yeah.
I'll send you the song.
I don't think I can find that one, Gar. I don't think I can find it.
I've got it.
Yeah,
I've got that right here. No, okay.
No, I still don't think I can find
collection.
It. Somehow
it
did.
I can send it to you. It's in this amazing consolidation of many different albums called the Oogie Boogie I can't remember. Darn my memory. I can't remember the name of the album collection, but I've got it, and I will send you that one. I think that's a hilarious song that you guys apparently have never heard. You know, so it never made it out of Parma. I don't know.
It's not allowed in Parma.
It's not allowed in Parma.
No.
They don't approve of such words as that.
It ain't the words they don't approve of.
Yeah.
Well, it's crazy because with all of the old-time radio.
You come to Parma, you'll know what we're talking about.
Uh-huh. Well, if they're all wearing those high-grade socks with colors on them and chrome balls, then, yeah, there's something missing.
It's the babushkas, I think.
The babushkas.
Yeah.
Darned, there was something I ran across earlier.
There's only one person who could wear a babushka.
Wait, what is
it? You know who it is. Dave knows who it is. There's only one person in my heart.
One person who could wear.
Oh, Gallardi? What?
No.
A woman?
Yes.
Yeah, a woman has to wear a babushka.
Only one woman could wear a babushka.
Your wife? No, I don't know. Who?
Close.
Your sister?
Maria.
Who's Maria?
Maria Ospenskaya. You know I have a thing for her. know I have a thing for her.
You send me the correct spelling. I'll look this person up. I have no idea who that is.
She's the gypsy lady from the Wolfman.
Wolfman.
Yeah. Oh, her. Yeah.
She can rock a baboon.
I was going to say, but she can look good in it. Those aren't made to look anybody look good, but she did okay in it. Yeah.
She can rock a babushka like nobody's business, man.
Uh-huh.
I'm telling you.
I bet she could stomp some grapes too.
In her day.
Yeah. No, there was something. Oh,
did she have a day? I don't know.
There was. Oh, I'm sure that they did this on the Beverly Hillbillies with Granny. That they sped up. They had her do something and they sped it up and made it really funny. They could do the same thing with her stomping grapes. It would be.
I don't know, but seeing her sing "I Am Woman" or whatever, "I'm a Woman."
Oh, yeah.
That's good. That's some good stuff right there.
Now, see, you've seen that, and you've seen the horse lady, and you're having problems.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I would take Granny over the horse lady any day.
That you might be Parma biased. I don't know.
I think I am. I must be.
Now, that's going to send me on my quest here of finding that amazing song. I forgot what I was talking about. What was that word?
I don't know. Boontang.
Boontang. That word.
Boontang.
Okay. Oh, Boontang. Yeah. Oh, I think I'm gonna. We might have to outlaw that word.
Yeah, but. Yeah, you just lost another check, buddy.
Uh-oh. Wait. By saying that one word, did things go blue? Because it's not a blue word. But see, that's the crazy thing about old-time radio. They use all kinds of slang and stuff that means something different in today's context, if you will. The Great Ooga Booga. That was the name of the compilation. It just dawned on me, the Great Ooga Booga. That might be a blue word too. I don't know.
Ooga Booga? I don't think so. I think that will fly that by the Erie House censors.
Will I fly fine. That?
Well,
yeah.
No, we're okay because Mel Blanc used to say "Ugga Ugga Boo Ugga Boo Boo Ugga," so that's close enough to that's safe.
Yeah, we'll let that go. That's good.
There are two. There are two songs. There's another one that is...
Hey, you're going to be owing us money. You're going to be owing us money soon, you know.
Yeah, it's all part of my plan.
It's all part of that. All right, Gar, send us another robot, darn it. Yeah. It's robot time.
Yes, we're charging him in robots.
Yeah, exactly.
Erie House currency. I love those robots so much. You have no idea.
Yep, they're right here, right on top of my collection here, and I go through and I make Robbie talk all the time, and yeah.
So do I. It's very comforting, isn't it?
It is.
It's amazing how something like that just makes you happy, you know? And it's like, oh, there you go. And you can't put a price on it. There is no price. There is no value. It's just, you know,
there's
joy
no
is
price
joy.
On happiness. That is for sure.
There is, you know, joy is joy. And you know, it's right there.
You took it all away with that damn horse woman.
It's a trade-off. It's a
Any
trade-off.
Any chance at joy was destroyed.
Well, that's called yin and yang, all right?
Yeah.
First I yin you, then I yanged you. You know, okay, so there you go.
And I liked it.
And you did.
And I did.
Oh, boy. Well. I've been house hunting. House hunting like crazy. I got a fire lit in under me, and I just... and I can't find anything.
How hard can house hunting be? I mean, you can sneak up on them. They're slow.
I know.
Yeah, they don't move real fast. If they do move fast, you don't want it.
Yeah, that's true.
No, I'm not a participating person in this, and yet I bought a house, and there was a church over there, and I was like, okay, and by over there, I mean like across the street and one lot over, well, there it is, you know, and
okay.
I was like, well, yeah, it's going to, who cares, you know, I'm not part of it, I don't care, it's not going to, you know, however, in the past 20 years, I've found, no, they do enough rambling and stuff, and there's traffic, and once a week there is instability going on, you know, and I'm like, okay, so that's what I don't want to be near, okay? Good luck trying to find a place that doesn't have something like that going on. I mean, I'm trying. I have a glass ceiling of finances, and then I've got, you know, well, you can do this with this amount of money slot, you know, boundaries and stuff. You can do that. Mm-hmm. And then you go look, and it's like, oh, this is cool. Oh, this. And then you go and you look on the maps. Oh, well, there you go. And there's that going on. I don't want to live near noise. I want to be away from the noise, and I want quiet. I want to hear birdies tweeting, you know.
Quiet,
and, you know,
please.
Exactly. And good luck trying to find that, you know, if you're – and the housing is absolutely nutball crazy.
Oh, God,
A house, the value of a house has gone up four times the value of what it should be. And it's all insanity. And, you know, you run across something and go, look at the price. And you look at the year and say, oh, it was built in 1958. And it's like, and it costs that much? Are you crazy? The thing's about ready to fall over. And it's just, I don't know. It's just, so it's,
but
it'll
fall over into a beautiful view.
Yeah, it will, you know, and all that money gone. But no, so I have been having a difficulty in finding what I'm looking for in the monies I've got to throw at it, and crazy, just
Find something.
I've been, there it is, the Treniers, 1952, there we go. All right, so I'm going to Dropbox this and then link it to you.
I'm sorry, I lost it.
You lost what? The Treniers? 1952?
The
Poontang.
Oh, after hearing the horse win it.
A Poontang.
Yes. Yes. Okay, let's see. Oh. What? Isn't that crazy? Okay, well, the Treniers are on there, 1952. So, I don't know where that came from, though. The Treniers, the T-R-E-N-I-E-R-S. Maybe I'm saying it wrong, but I believe it's the Treniers.
From hell it came.
Huh?
From hell it came. It's the name
from
of the movie.
From hell it came.
Yes.
Oh, okay. I'm going to see.
He said, I don't know where it came from. From hell it came.
From hell it came. I'm going to see. Oh, my gosh. Oh, wow. Okay, it's right there. It's right. Facebook let me do that. Wow. Okay. There you go. That's it. That's crazy. All right. Well, there you go.
That is so wrong.
It is.
You used to be able to download it off of Facebook. What happened here? I got to have me some Poontang.
That's it. That's it. There it is.
Yeah.
Poontang. And it's a lively, happy little song. There's nothing contrary about it. They even tell you what it is in the song, and they sit there and they sing. In 2 minutes and 41 seconds, you're out. You're done. Oh, buddy. The great Ooga Mooga.
Great Googly Moogly.
Yeah.
Ooga Booga.
Ooga Booga. I wonder, it was a newer thing then. The Great Googa Mooga is a compilation put together in 2009. and it has another song.
I've heard of great
called, Poom Patcha Poom. Billy Bird and the Penguins. Is that the song? Yes, that's the song. All right, let's see, because this is another one that's that is just. Oh, I don't know if they're gonna let me do this. Oh wow! Oh, they did. Son of a gun. Okay, Poom Pack a Boom. Now this one, they were pushing the blue bar on this, really, really pushing the envelope. But they don't say anything in it. They allude to certain things, but you could get away with it. they put this on the radio and it flew somewhere. I don't know where it flew. Billy Bird and the Penguins. Of course it flew. The great Ooga Mooga. Poom Packa Poom.
Is that anything like the Constipation Blues, Dale?
Yeah, probably. Very similar.
I actually laugh a lot when I listen to the Poom Packa Poom. That one's really funny. They don't tell jokes or anything, but the allusions are pretty hilarious.
Do you remember a song called Tom's Diner?
Tom's Diner. I don't have it on here, but no.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay. I know that.
Yeah, they put the lyrics of I Dream a Genie in there.
Yeah.
Somebody did.
They did.
Tom's Diner?
Really?
Yeah.
I am sitting on the sofa. There's a TV in the corner. I am watching Major Nelson. He is played by Larry Hagman.
Genie!
And he found a little bottle and popped Barbara Eden. But she couldn't show her belly button. All she did was blink.
Good evening, Major Nelson.
Tony Nelson was at NASA with suspicious Dr. Bellows. And there's also Roger Healy, who would become Howard Borden.
Genie!
And Genie always means well, but they get in wacky trouble. She folds her arms and blinks her eyes. It's kind of like the witch.
Genie!
Yes, Master.
Oh, the reruns will continue on the TV as I'm watching the pink smoke of her bottle. I am dreaming of Genie.
Genie!
That's great.
Which television series came first? I believe Bewitched was in.
Bewitched was first.
Black and white.
Yeah, she thought that Genie was just a rip off of her show.
Really?
Yeah.
Yes and no.
And what's funny is her husband then, who was a producer on the show, would later go on after they divorced. They would go on, you know, when they did I Dream of Genie Again, that made-for-TV movie.
Mm-hmm.
He directed. He directed or produced that, and he never would have been able to do that if he were still married to Elizabeth Montgomery. So.
Oh wow. Well, I mean, they did have certain little qualities, like the if magic's going to happen, you hear a sound effect, whether it was her nose or the, you know, the bobbing head thing, you know.
The what?
She'd fold her arms and nod her head. And,
Down, Dale.
And then things would happen.
I'm sorry.
Then you would hear the noise.
I did not know where you were going, man.
Oh, my God.
What's wrong over there?
I think you need to say when she blinked. Sorry, don't say she bobbed her head.
Okay, she blinked.
You can't say bobbed her head to Dale. You can't say bobbed her head to Dale.
Okay.
Yeah. Just...
There could have been apples involved.
Dale, you missed that episode. You missed that episode, Dale.
I know.
When nature's calling, don't be stalling. Use your common sense before you let it flow. Find a place to go, just don't quiz on
the electric fence.
If you're gonna explode, you can use the commode in igloos, cave dwellings, or tents.
No need to explain when you got a dream.
Don't quiz on the electric fence.
You can swizzle on the sofa.
Piddle in the air.
Tinkle in the toilet.
That's why it is there.
You can let it rain in the breakdown lane while waving at ladies and gents. Just don't whiz on. Don't whiz on. Don't whiz on the electric fence.
You know, the guy who created that was, in reality, a very sick human being.
Yes.
That was from the Ren and Stimpy show. He was a bad man. He was a very bad man.
What is it, man? What is it, man?
Very, very inventive, very clever, but in real life, not a nice person.
Oh, I don't know anything about the guy.
He was a bit of a stalker and used his influence on a very popular show to meet underage people.
The heck? Okay.
With, like, illegal relationships, shall
the,
we say.
The artist or the guy that was the artist? One
I
of
think
the
creator, if I'm not mistaken, the creator.
Oh, okay.
Look it up. You Google it, and it's not a happy ending. It's too bad.
Oh, okay.
Because he had a good show, but it's kind of
That was one of my first forays into, like, Adult Swim type stuff. And when I saw it, I was like, how are they getting away with showing this? And, of course, they were showing I was like, what?
Yeah, but they were showing it on the Kids Network, though.
It was on Nickelodeon.
Yeah.
Nick at Night.
I know.
Late at night. You know,
And I just wondered, why was there always a cob of corn, like, in every scene in a couple episodes? You get just...
Well,
get
out in the country.
Country. We're out of newspaper.
You don't always have the New York Times handy, Dale.
That's right.
Yes.
And that's what corn cobs are for.
Well, not in my lifetime. So...
Oh, the stuff... And I, you know, I'm sitting here looking at all my novelty songs since we were goofing around with these today, and there's some that I could no longer play. I even had a difficult time at Dave. You know a little bit about my alfalfa's life, Alfalfa's Pub.
Yeah,
it was called.
Oh yeah, he passed really.
Right.
Someone killed him.
There was a very what I thought was a funny song from Dr. Demento called "Kinko the Kid Loving Clown." People. You know, I remember one night I was so drunk, and this one woman started going, "That is really sick. You're disgusting. That is so sick." I go, "What's the matter? Bad memories of Uncle Fred?" That didn't go well. I was a bad man. I was a bad man. It was the alcohol, I swear.
Mm-hmm.
I swear that was it.
Yeah, Ren and Stimpy. No, it's okay. So am I incorrect? She folds her arms. Does she blink, or does she blink in and out her head at the same time?
Or blink in and out her head, as I recall.
Yeah, but I don't want to say she nods her head in front of Dale, so I just say she blinked.
Oh, okay.
Well, as long as you don't say Bob. Nodding your head and bobbing your head are a little different.
No, they're not. It's the same thing. It's a different word.
Okay.
Different colors of red. I don't know. I don't know.
So I'm reading these titles from Napoleon 14. They're coming to take me away.
Okay.
Ha-ha. Mm-hmm. They're coming to get me again, ha-ha.
Mm-hmm.
The one by the woman, I'm happy they took you away, ha-ha. I guess that's the dog answering.
Yeah.
Split-level head, bats in the belfry, and then, of course, yawa em ikat out gnimak ir yes. That's they're coming to take me away backwards.
Oh.
Yeah, if you on the original 45,
run it backwards.
On the original 45,
yeah,
the flip side was the song
the back
in reverse.
The side was backwards.
Yeah.
Well, that's novel. That I like that. That sounds good. When you listen to the one that's backwards, can you snap your fingers to it?
Well, there's probably.
I could snap my fingers to that, you know.
I'm sure you could if you tried.
Yeah, you just put them together and blow, right? No, that's something else.
That sounds like something Humphrey Bogart would say.
No, it was the girl wanted you to go up the stairs.
Yeah, the bill beats the hell out of the horse lady. That was it, Gar. I had the original 45, and then I flipped it over, and I'm like, really?
Wow. Well, there you go.
And then back in the old days, you could take your turntable and turn it backwards so you could make it sound normal.
So if you took the turntable and made it face the wall, it would sound like the same thing.
Probably.
Okay.
Sounds demonic, doesn't it?
It just needs a horse, and it would be okay.
Well, to answer your question, I guess you could snap your fingers to it.
I did. I was snapping my fingers at the beginning. Then the arthritis hit, and I was like, well, I better stop. So.
Yeah, that's probably as much as we can take of that. I won't make you listen to the whole thing.
Can I put my headphones back on now, or what?
Yes, it's safe. All clear! All clear!
All clear!
Napoleon 14 has left the building. On a train.
Oh, train. Yes. Train going out of here. Let's wrap it up, guys.
Are you saying you had too much fun?
I'm saying it's almost quarter past 11. They're going to pull our plug anyway.
Yeah, pretty soon.
Well, then, there's probably only one thing to do.
That's right. It's call in. No. Call in the one and only Jimmy Durante.
Of course, lady.
Good night.
The great Rupert.
It's time to say goodbye. Good night. What more than say but good night? We've had a few laughs, and it's time for toodaloo.
Thanks, young boy.
Horrible, up we the best, and it could think of you.
Good night.
Good night.
Good
night,
young boy.
Good night, folks.
and good night, Mrs. Calabash, wherever.
It's horrifying.
Yeah.